Coming up on TMS, Taco Bell training is hard.
MTV says things and we still listen.
There are still hoaxes afoot in San Francisco.
Uh-oh. Don't drink beer from a tainted river.
I don't know why that line makes me laugh, but it does. NBC is happy with what... NBC is happy with that weird live business.
Jason Momoa is ready for his Batman close-up.
Just not another Conan. Fitness geek.
Jury duty and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
After testing thousands of different varieties of corn, Del Monte discovered number 216. It builds up great natural sugar content and tender corn kernels. Yet every year, Del Monte tests over 1,500 different varieties trying to better it. I don't know why. How can you beat corn like this?
The more you know about corn, the better for Del Monte.
I guess I'll just have to bite it.
The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream.
Oh, hello. I didn't see you standing there. I'm Scott Fletcher. You might know me from shows such as this one. Wishing you a very merry Festivus.
That was a jolly intro from
it was
one Scott Fletcher.
There was nothing wrong with that intro altogether. I mean, your intros are always great.
Yeah,
the combinations of old commercials and sounds,
sure,
and
sure,
clips and stuff. For whatever reason, that one was spot on. That one was like
slick and timed well.
It was
well
magic,
and...
is what it was. It really was. I don't know why.
I don't either. But if by magic you mean lucky, then I agree completely. Because I didn't do anything special. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Morning Stream. It is that show for Tuesday, December 10th, 2013. I remain Scott. He remains Brian.
Mm-hmm. Someday we might switch.
Yeah, you want to ever, I meant to ask you this before because we always talk about names and how people should go and get them changed.
Yeah.
If you were to go to the courthouse and throw down your $75 or whatever it is now, what would you change out to? Yeah, what name did you always want to be when you didn't want to be Brian?
I was always really happy with the name Brian, and I was talking about this in the pre-show that my mom picked the name because it couldn't be turned into like a silly nickname like Jimmy or Joey or Tommy or anything like that.
Nobody was using Bri-Bri back
no
in the day.
There's no Briny. Well, and that's actually how it came up because Definicus in the Tadpool calls me Bri-Bri, and I have no problem with being called Bri-Bri, but apparently when my mom found out that my kindergarten teacher was calling me Bri-Bri, she went to the school and had words with her.
Oh my gosh.
Like, apparently this was something worthy of a school visit, telling the kindergarten teacher not to call me Bri-Bri.
That's great.
Like I said, I didn't care about any of that. But if I were to change my name, if I had to, like if you put me, held me at gunpoint and said, come on, we're going to the courthouse, you're picking something else. Probably Cornelius, because that's what I use when I go to any place where they ask for your name for a food order.
Oh, really? You say Cornelius?
Yeah, I say Cornelius.
Oh, that's fantastic. I don't remember. I used to do that too, but I don't remember the name I used. It wasn't as creative as that, therefore not very memorable. If I was to get mine changed.
Yeah, had to get yours changed.
By the way, folks, we call this little thing we do.
Imagine.
We call it Imagine.
Imagine.
Imagine I was held at gunpoint and taken to the courthouse, which I feel like would be...
Imagine. There's no heaven.
It's
easy if you try.
If I got there, I'd go, he has a gun, you guys. I'd just tell somebody.
Right. Probably the worst place you'd want to go if you're holding somebody at gunpoint is the courthouse.
Yeah.
You know, that's the police station.
But if I had to do it, I think I'd probably go with like... I think I'd go Jack.
Really?
Yeah. Now I realize Jack Johnson is a singer, and it's also like it's all this other stuff now.
I sure like surfing and I like singing about the waves crashing on the beach.
I was better when I shaved my head. Do-do-do-do-do-do.
And I wear shoes that look like feet.
He does like shoes that look like feet. He's a damn hipster hippie. And my daughter was really into Jack Johnson in the day. And so I get that, and I understand that that would be a problem now. But at the time, when I was younger, when I was a kid, I hated my name. I thought Scott was a terrible name. I didn't like Scotty as a shortened thing.
Really?
I got called Scotty Potty all the time.
Sure.
I got called Scott Towel and Tissue something, this and that. Johnson and Johnson words were made up, all this kind of stuff, right?
So I would have, I just remember at the time thinking Jack was just a badass name, just a cool name. Jack Johnson. It sounds like a, that's why we called Nicholas, and we knew it could be Nicholas Long, but Nick Short is like cool, like quarterback name. Like Nick Johnson throwing 500 yards today. Doing a hell of a job for the Patriots. Like that fits.
It is, yeah. Nick Johnson.
So
Nick Johnson, danger.
And Jack Johnson would have been a similar thing. And also is a cool name when you're older. It's like, Jack Johnson up the street. That guy's got 14 cars. I don't know where he keeps them all. He's a badass mother effer. Like,
so you
know,
do something like, you know, Conan Johnson or Anakin Johnson or
No.
Jar Jar Johnson.
JJJJ.
Right.
I'm fine with my name now, even though it's the most common name on Earth. I would remind people, if they search just for the phrase Scott Johnson on Google, that how many results? Let's see.
Boba
ridiculous
Johnson.
Amounts of
Django,
my name.
Django Johnson. And you can choose whether or not you want to spell it with a D or not.
Yeah, that's true.
By the way, I don't know if you've seen The Simpsons this week.
Mm-mm.
But big callback to the Django movie that we watched for Film Sack.
Oh, the original one.
Django.
Oh, my gosh. Did they do a hole in the roof or something, or what happened?
No. That was DocuSucker, wasn't it?
Oh, DocuSucker. You're right. Yeah.
No, it was just the music. The Django.
Oh, I love that. Really?
Travels the road on a horse.
Yeah.
Django.
You have me all excited. Like this bit?
Django!
Django!
That's
one. Exactly. Yes.
Love that.
I don't know if I could hit it any more spot on.
All right, I'll catch up. I actually meant to watch that yesterday and I didn't. But if you do a search for Scott Johnson, 333 million results.
Wow.
That's a lot. I'm number one, two, and three, and four, it looks like.
Really?
That's funny. And five. I'm in some kind of white pages thing. That's weird. But then, if you do a search for Brian Ibbett, and this is where you get to be unique.
Yeah.
All right. Did the search. About 200,000, not two, let's see, 211,000 results.
Really? And mine says 28,800 results.
Oh, maybe I have, well, that's weird. You know how Google now, these days, Google is a thing that is all about you. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's weird because you're just over 20,000. Why would I have over 200,000?
Yeah, I don't know. But it's funny because I like the image search, right? So it's got, you know, some pictures that I've done for various various things. Then there's this unknown woman holding a beer.
I see it.
It's like Amy Adams holding a beer, which
is
fun
that?
With me.
What is that?
I don't know. But
okay, in episode 9 with special guest Brian Ibbett. Oh, it's the Incredible Podcast. .com. But why is that photo?
That photo was? Oh.
Yeah, if you visit page.
Because she's drinking Scrumpy Jack?
Oh, it's when you were on with Terpster and what's his beak. This would have been April 2010.
Right. Well, that's neither Terpster nor Schramm.
No,
Mike
but
Schramm.
If you do a view of the website that it's associated with, for some reason they used her. There must have been some comment in there.
I guess we must have talked about Scrumpy Jack.
Look at us socially engineering the internet to work.
But people apparently, when they search for me, they also search for you.
Mm.
Then they search for Veronica Belmont.
Whoa.
And then they search for Tom Merritt.
Well, it's because she's the third hottest and Tom is the fourth hottest. So
I'll take that.
Yeah,
sure.
Why not?
Sure.
I've got bigger boobs.
I don't even care if you and I fight for first and second. It's take first, sir. I'll happily take for
That's
second.
That's a hell of a hot tub right there, those four people.
Yes, it is.
All right.
There's your dream podcast right there.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. If I've ever dreamed of anything, it's that. Hey, listen, I'm dreaming of safety for our friends in the Northeast. There's a huge storm right now, and we just want everyone, all our listeners out that way, who are perhaps not even able to watch live today because of outages and whatnot. We hope you're all okay. Thousands of flights have been canceled today, so that'll tell you something about the state of these storms. Those who've not been canceled, five-hour delays, like some real rough business going on in the Northeast. It's a real nor'easter, as the old people would say. Right? Isn't that what they used to call it?
A nor'easter.
They'd go, we haven't seen a nor'easter like this in about 10 years. They're all up in Maine, I guess. Those are all those people. Sitting around going, it's a good thing we just finished up canning that batch of jelly. All bad things would have happened with this nor'easter.
Right.
Anyway, so there's all that. I got a funny story to tell you real quick.
Okay.
We're at Taco Bell. And getting the We're in a new Taco Bell. Okay, because that's when you get the best food.
That's when you get the best, right, exactly.
There's only two ways you want your Taco Bell. You want it the day they open or the day after they reopen when they had food poisoning before.
Right.
So we're there. We're at the Taco Bell. You've got some history with Taco Bell, so maybe you can speak to this. But we get to the window, and we get this. Hello. Hi. This is Taco Bell. What would you like to have an order? Do you want to place your order? Like that.
Okay.
That is exactly what it was like. And I went, oh, we're in for it now, honey.
Well, no kidding. And you weren't recording. I think you just automatically have to start recording anytime you do any drive.
I really should have. I should have. And I'm mad that I didn't at this time because this was really funny. So Kim goes, yeah, we'd like a bat, bat, bat. And she's naming off this stuff. And she get halfway through a sentence like, yeah, and can I get with that? I'd like, and before she could finish, hold on a second. Hold on. And then you'd hear him not turn off his microphone and go, what is this? I don't know what this is. What is this right here? What is this? Can you tell me what that is? He's talking to somebody.
Trying to find the key for taco.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Because that's how they do it, right?
Yes.
They have keys that are labeled the thing. You don't have to type it in or whatever.
It might even have pictures, you know, now.
Yeah, now there's like a picture of a taco. So he's really struggling. He's doing this in this way. Okay. Where's that one? Okay. And he goes, okay, what? Like that. Like, what? And I go, did he just say what? And she's like, it's okay, it's okay. And Kim's always nice. And
say
she says,
what one more time.
So she says, she tries to reiterate what she's looking for and what she wants. And he goes, okay, just a second. And then he mumbles off for a while again, just does some more mumbling. And he comes back and he goes, okay, did you say, like this. He's going, oh. And any minute I expected somebody to pop in and go, hi, sorry, can I finish? None of this has ever happened. He just stayed on and on and on. And by the end of it, he goes, we kind of got it all figured out. And he said Dr. Pepper instead of something else. And we were fine with that. We were just like, you know what? He's obviously in training. We're not going to be jerks here. So we're just going to let it be. It's the way we roll. So he gets to the end of this thing and he goes, okay, that'll be, hold on a second. Okay. He's talking to somebody else again and he's trying to figure out the pricing. He comes back and he goes, okay, and this is, keep in mind, this is me and Kim, two combo meals, okay? Two combo meals, just me and my wife. Comes back on the thing, goes, okay, that'll be $28.45. And I went, oh, in the car. I made a noise.
All right. And he goes, you pressed the wrong button.
And Kim goes, and he goes, please pull up to the second window. And that was it. He was off. Now the microphone's off. So we pull up to the second window thinking we're going to have to go, yeah, we don't think that price is right. You know, we're preparing for what's next. We get there, and instead, another dude there gives us the food and says, hi, yes, that'll be $9.42 or something. And we're like, oh, he's been killed, and his body has been dumped in the back.
No, he's being ground up for the double beef Cheez-It Supreme.
Hideous thing, by the way.
Yes.
So... that was fun. We had a good time. I haven't had a good drive up in a while, and that was awesome. That poor guy was just now, what? Wait, okay, hold on. Like that. It was just this neurotic. You could tell he was really trying, and he was just all the energy in the world was there. He just didn't know what he was doing.
There's three guys in the back hitting with baseball bats, just taking him out. Just
or bag, you know, sacks full of soap bars or something, just strapping him to his bed. Smacking him with him. Anyway, so that went down. Also, MTV named Miley Cyrus Artist of the Year. I just wanted to get that out there. We can now go home. We're done.
Yeah.
Cancel those flights.
Do they pronounce it artiste? Did they say she's the artiste of the year?
I think they just pronounced it as this. She's the most loud, obnoxious thing of the year. Therefore, we're going to give her Artist of the Year. So there you have that.
Yeah.
Let's call Daryl.
Okay.
Sorry, go ahead. What were you going
to
say?
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, trying to look at other options for them. It's MTV, so it's not going to be, you know, it's not going to be David Bowie or Bono or Chris Martin or anything like that these days. It's going to be whoever is making the most noise. So it was going to be Lady Gaga, Justin Bieber, Miley Cyrus, or Katy Perry.
Yeah, right? I mean, what else? Yeah. Who else are you going to give it to? And you're probably going to give it to the one that's generated the most chatter, the most conversation,
the most attention for MTV, really.
Right. I got it. Mm-hmm. It's Hurry Up and Call Daryl Stump a Trek Nerd Edition, and it's brought to you by
StuffOnMyRabbit.net. Hop on over and see what crazy things my rabbit Vinny has on his head every day. Don't forget to order a 2014 calendar, too. Just go to /loot.com and search calendars. T-shirts coming soon.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I was thinking that was the word tool, a calendar, and then I was like seeing tool out of the corner of my eye.
She's the one with the cutie little kid that was at BlizzCon. Yes. We'd seen her in Nerdtacular as well. But
oh, yeah.
Cutest little guy.
Yes.
Almost took him home with us. Yep. Kim seemed fine with that idea at the time. She was enamored with the boy. Speaking of boys we're enamored with, it's Daryl on the line. Hi, Daryl.
I forgot to start Skype.
I noticed. That's why I called this number, because you were offline. But no worries. You're okay. We'll make it work today. It's all a bit of a rush. That's why we're calling you so quickly here, because you've got to go somewhere. You got a thing to do. You got stuff to deal with. We don't want to.
Yeah,
hold...
got kid stuff to do.
Yeah, we don't want to hold you back from your appointed rounds. So here it is. It's Stump a Trek Nerd. It's time for us to ask you a hard trivia question about Star Trek. And he'll say, I think it's right. Hold on a second. It'd be just like that guy. It'll be great. So here you go, Daryl. Here's your Next Generation episode question about the episode Emergence. The Enterprise creates a new life form and uses the holodeck to accomplish its goals. On the holodeck, there is a program with a train. The program gives the crew various clues as to what's going on. This is the one with who's the guy in all the Coen Brothers movie that died recently? He was Hudsucker that jumped out the window.
Right.
We did this before and we didn't remember his name.
It was in Dune. Right.
Charles Durning.
Durning, yes. Mm-hmm.
Charles Durning is the conductor, and he is great in that episode. And he's always coming out going, "You have your tickets? If not, the fourth moon is at the bum of the monkey shine," or whatever. He'd give some clue, and then Data would have to go figure it out. It was great. Great episode. Let's see. So on the hall, the program gives the crew various clues as to what's going on. On this train, a man is taking tickets. Oh, this is the guy. He asks some crew members for tickets also. Commander Riker says they life the tickets in their compartment. I think he means left. He then yells at another crew member for forgetting the tickets. Who does he yell at? So this is Charles Durning yelling at somebody else. Was he yelling at Data, B, Geordi, C, Worf, or D, Dr. Crusher? Beverly, if you're nasty. So Daryl, why don't you mull that around while we all just eat something random today? Brian, let's do this properly.
Are you hungry?
Watch a foodie.
Okay, so I have in my hands a fruits mix gummy candy from Japan, it looks like, or China or something. And Brian, what do you have?
I have a "Hello, my name is Strawberry Cheesecake. Nice to sweet you" from Australia.
Oh Lord! Wait, the Strawberry Shortcake that we all are familiar with, the character?
No, it's like a candy bar, a chocolate bar with Strawberry Shortcake or Strawberry Cheesecake in the middle.
Okay.
Did I say Strawberry Cheesecake or Shortcake?
I thought you said Shortcake.
Oh, I'm sorry, Strawberry Cheesecake.
Oh, okay. I don't. Maybe you did though. And maybe I just
who knows? Maybe
heard
you just
what
heard.
I wanted to hear.
Yeah, you wanted your, you got little scented dolls on the mind.
Well, my sister had all those, so she had the stinky dolls. She had the Strawberry Shortcake, like Blueberry Bastard, or I don't know what the names were. They all had these names, and they all were flavored like Peach Petunia or something. And she had them all in her room. Now, it's one thing if you have one of these, like Strawberry Shortcake in there is there, and they stink. These dolls smelled like the fruit they were named after.
Yeah, of course.
So if she was on her own, you'd just smell like lovely strawberry smell. Or if the blueberry chick was on her own, just be a blueberry. But no, she had to have the whole collection. So you had like 8 of these dolls, all with these different flavors. And you'd walk in there and it was a horrible combination, a cacophony of stink, of artificial doll smells. Yeah, I didn't like it. I remember thinking that was gross. All right, Daryl, what do you got over there? What are you eating?
Well, I have also fished out the "Hello, my name is Strawberry Cheesecake. Nice to sweet you."
Oh, good. Just don't have that box. I didn't get those for some reason. Or maybe it's here and I don't know because things are in disarray.
Good news is, you know, if it does arrive, then, boy, you don't even have to wait for us. Just chow that stuff down the second it walks through your mailbox.
There's some disarray while I finish this office, and sadly, it may be somewhere in here.
And this person... Oh, here we go. Marin Davies from New South Wales, St. Leonard's, New South Wales in Australia.
Mm.
Thank you, Marin.
Very nice, Marin. Thanks, Marin. So I just ate a grape one of these. I don't know if you guys ever got these E100 fruit mix gummy candy combo things, but
doesn't sound familiar.
They're so good. Oh my gosh, I'm gonna eat the whole bag.
We don't have those either.
They're super. I'm sure these are artificial as all hell and back, but they're great. I love a good like gummy fruity, like fruit. Like we were raiding the other night and I ate like 3 bags of fruit snacks while we played. I think I may have given birth
there has to
a fruit
be,
baby.
I was gonna say there's a point at which the line graph starts going back down from that being healthy.
I think it never goes up. I think you start low and stays low.
Right.
Anyway, that's not bad. So how's your strawberry cheesecake?
It's sweet. It is really sweet.
Mm. Sweet like, yeah, dude, that's totally sweet. Or sweet like overly powering sweet.
Like overly sugary, yeah. Mm.
That's not good. Daryl,
how it tastes delicious. I mean, it tastes like strawberry cheesecake with chocolate. But, man, one square, I would not spare another square.
Mm.
Yeah. One nibble is one serving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Lovely.
So this will last me all the rest of the week.
Mm. I'm now eating 2 gummies. I need to stop. I'm going to put those right over there.
Okay. All right.
If I keep that up, there's hell to pay. Daryl, all right. What are we doing? Birthday. Anybody?
Oh, yes, we have one. That would be Alexander Courage, if I can talk.
Courage, wait, who's this?
Music guy.
Is he a guy?
The music guy, yeah.
Oh.
He's the guy who wrote the original theme, right?
Yes, that's the guy.
That's the one?
Yep, he said, no, Mr. Roddenberry, I don't think we're going to be using your lyrics.
Because there are lyrics, right?
Yeah.
In fact, I think we played them on the show before, and they're not very good. It's like Star Trek into the space or something like that.
Something like that. Yes, exactly.
Trek theme with lyrics. Okay, let's just see this.
Yeah, I think I gave you the Uhura vocaled version, the Nichelle Nichols.
And hers are different, right? They're slightly different. Okay, here's a. Let's see what this.
Oh, this is Martini, Pink Martini.
Oh, is it?
No. So that's the theremin one.
Oh yeah, that's the word.
It's really slow getting to the point.
Also, the lyrics don't even start until about a quarter of the way through on this one.
That's the theremin. So that's a theremin, isn't it?
That's a theremin, yeah.
Oh my gosh, dude.
I want to say that's Pink Martini. I have that album.
That was some pretty boss theremin use, though.
Oh, yeah. Well,
that's a hard instrument to play.
It's required.
No, that's great.
Project Pimento.
Ah, Project Pimento.
Yes.
That's what I call, how do I get that weird thing out of that lunch meat? So I don't repeat it.
Project Pimento.
Dun, 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 dun. And I have to work really hard. All right, Daryl, back to your thing. Happy birthday to him. That's great. Oh, wait, he died, though, right?
He died in 2008 at age 88.
Oh, that's a ripe, ripe old age.
Yeah. Wow.
You know, you don't get much older than that these days.
Yeah.
Conspiracy!
You know, most people, the average, I was looking it up the other day, the average life expectancy in the 1800s, just one, you know, a couple hundred years ago, or no, not even that, 100 and a half years ago, whatever. Well, wait, hold on, 1800s. So if he was 1850, it'd be 100 in 1950. So yeah, not quite. Well, no, yeah, over 200 years ago.
Depends on if you're starting from 1800 or 1899, because both of those are within the 1800s.
You're right, and that's 100 years. So, anyway, I'm too tired to think of it. Their life expectancy was like 35 or 40 at the most. That's how long people live. Now, occasionally you get some old coot that, you know, sat on a porch going, I've seen things you wouldn't believe. And, you know, that was it, though. There was like one or two of those guys, and the rest of the town were all like, I've had a good run. I'm 36. I'm going down.
Yeah. And those old guys were 40.
Yeah, the old guys were 40, 45. Right. Occasionally, like a mysterious 60-year-old would show up someplace. I was a 49er 2 years ago. All right, here's your question. You already know the question. Here's your possible answers. Data, Geordi, Worf, or Dr. Crusher. One of these were yelled at by Charles Durning in his stupid little train attendant hat that he was wearing. Who do you think it was?
Well, this must have been of 7th season 1, because I have no idea. Who do you yell at because it's funny?
Daryl.
Yeah. I like how you're thinking of this, though. This is a good deduction.
Yes.
I'm gonna say Worf, I guess.
You're gonna say Worf, I guess.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
The new Star Trek series coming from Paramount. Worf, I guess. all right. Well, let's find out if it's Worf, so that we can get you out of here on time. Judges, can you tell us if it's? Wait, where's this thing? Judges, is it Worf? Oh!
Congratulations! Oh.
Hey.
You're a winner.
Lucky there, Worf. He yells at Worf about the tickets, probably for the reason you said. This is just a ploy so they can, or as he wrote, so Trehe can continue their investigation. The holographic characters didn't buy or don't buy it and end up kicking them off the holodeck. Here's a clip. Right here.
Get away from there. Would you gentlemen care to show me your tickets?
I believe we left our tickets in our compartment. Mr. Worf, I told you to bring the ticket.
I forgot. I don't think you folks belong on this train.
No ticket.
What was that? That's from something else at the end. I couldn't tell you what that was at the end.
Doesn't sound like Star Trek, does it?
No, let's try it again.
No ticket.
What? Is that Daryl? It sounded like Daryl.
Is it?
Hold on.
On the train.
Why would I want somebody's ticket?
No ticket.
I don't know.
No, I don't think. Yeah, I don't know.
They're
singing Indiana Jones and The Last Crusade.
Oh. Oh, right. Yeah. Wow. Freaking Iceworm had to go digging around.
Oh, in the blimp. Right. Yes.
Okay. Wait, but is that the third one?
When they're flying with the Nazis. Yeah, it's him and Sean Connery in the Nazi blimp.
You know what I call that one, right? The third one is the rat. Let's see, the one with the rats in it, because that's all I ever remember when someone says something. They're very early in the movies, and that
yeah, they're going through the catacombs, and
yeah, they're trying to reproduce the whole "why did it have to be snakes" moment just with rats this time.
Sure.
And as a guy who used to raise rats domestically, I kind of just went, "Whatever, they're just rats.
They're just rats.
No big deal.
Start eating you.
They're not scary." But Daryl is, if you rile him up, and he is the winner today. He's won today, and he will go on to win again, I'm sure, tomorrow maybe even. So let's find out if that's true. Stay tuned for that. Daryl is the Trek Nerd on Twitter, and also part of This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com. Daryl, do you have a contest for us while you're wherever you are?
Yes, and I say that we should just do yesterday's over again, so here it is. Is this a Star Trek thing or a candy bar?
Boo!
That's the theme.
Yeah, I guess you need the word, so you can guess.
Yeah, we have to know.
Yes.
Argolis cluster.
Argolis cluster. It's like the Juliana Argolis cluster. I'm going to say it's Star Trek.
Sounds like an embarrassing anus disease or something. The Argolis right. cluster.
right.
I'm going to say I agree with Brian.
Oh, you're jumping on the same boat. That's a dangerous thing to do, but it's the right thing because it is a Star Trek thing.
Yay, that's what you want every time. Yay. You could say we are of one accord. Oh, it's the news, and it's brought to us by.
Do you like webcomics? Then you'll love today's Extra Life at myextralife.com. Santa finally has some real competition.
You should check it. I think it's funny, and here's why. Our good friend Eric Van Skyhawk, who was on the show yesterday, doodled up this very funny comic idea about Amazon drones delivering your stuff. And I thought it was good enough that I said, dude, let me draw this and make a comic out of it. And he said, okay. So,
oh, cool.
Full credit goes to Eric for that idea. It was very well done.
Nice. It is very funny, too.
I just like the idea that Santa's just pissed. It's like, damn it.
I can't believe this. You know, I totally thought when this drones thing was announced that it was an Onion article or something like a joke. But
it's for real.
I can't wait till I see my first Amazon drone.
Mm-hmm. What do you want to get with it? Like, here, I want to inaugurate, like, whenever I get a 360 or, sorry, an Xbox One.
Yeah.
I want that to be my delivery.
You want that to be the thing that,
Because it's a big test. It's like, you're sending me a relatively expensive thing. I want to see if it doesn't break. You know, I feel like it's a good test. Will it be here in the time I want? Will it be literally 30 minutes after I order it? That kind of stuff. It's actually, if you can do this, and it's a reasonably inexpensive way for them to do stuff and they can justify it, it's a pretty brilliant thing.
Oh, it totally is.
And it will destroy whatever's left of stores. Like right now, if I really want a game or a book or a movie, I don't want to wait, I can go to Walmart and get it.
Sure, exactly.
But if I can have
it brought
to me,
or you can get it digitally.
Well, that's true. But if this can be brought to me via their these, as old men would probably call it, these electronic storks flying through the air in 20 minutes or less, I'm in, man.
I think for me, it's going to have to be, and people are saying that an X-Bone is going to be too heavy.
Too heavy.
So I think for me, maybe it's going to be like a Blu-ray copy of Terminator 2.
Okay, yeah. Like
the machines taking over kind of thing.
Or like, yeah, that's a brilliant idea. What a good combination. Actually, that's if you hit back on the comic page, you'll see a comic about that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We're at Great Minds Think Alike.
That's funny.
It involves a dude and a dog and a joke about Terminator.
Oh, that's funny. I'll have to go
in
back.
In fact, it's exactly what you said. That's hilarious.
What? Really?
Yeah, right. go read it.
I'm going right now. Hold on.
You have to go see it and see what you think. Let's get his reaction.
The Santa one, and I click the
back button
previous.
There. The previous. Okay, the top. Yeah, that's right.
Oh, how hilarious. Amazon delivery drone just delivered my Terminator Blu-ray set. It's so ironic. That is hilarious.
What do you think about that?
I swear to God, I've not read this.
I think that's a sign. I believe you. And that's a sign that you and I hang out too much. That's what I think.
Oh,
our brains are
awesome.
Starting to become one.
That is awesome. Cool.
Google employee in San Francisco, or so it would have seemed, said some pretty awful stuff to a lady who was doing some striking there. They were having a protest.
Okay, on strike?
Yeah, about the city's living cost of living going up and the marginalization of the working class and homeless and other groups in San Francisco, which is a big, huge deal. It's a huge problem. Housing there is ridiculous and terrible. But the plot kind of thickens. I'm going to play the clip. This took over the internet, and of course, everybody and their dog who had the ability to comment had a billion terrible things to say about this supposed Google employee, all right?
Right.
So here's how it went down. I want to give you the full story from the beginning. This is the guy getting off a bus, supposedly, trying to get to work or home or something, and chewing out, having this conversation with the protester lady. And this is how it went down, and this is why he was in so much trouble, at least at the time he was. So here you go.
If you guys would just move out of the way.
How long have you been
Look, I've been here for 6 months, okay? I live around the corner, and I don't need to tell you anything, okay?
How much is your rent?
Look, I can pay my rent. Can you pay your rent?
Can you pay your rent?
Well, then you know what? Why don't you go to a city where you can't afford it? You know, because this is a city for the right people who can afford it. If you can't afford it, it's time for you to leave.
Okay, now the key to focus in on there.
trying to listen also to the background what they're actually saying. Stop business now?
No, it's stop. Oh, that's a good. Hold on.
If you guys would just move out of the way.
Stop mission.
Fishes now.
Fishes.
Stop fishes.
Stop fishes
don't
now.
Don't bring us any more fish.
No more fishes. Please bring no more fishes. I think that was it.
Stop witches meow, time to go.
Stop
evictions now.
Oh, okay, that might
that
be
makes
it.
Sense. So they're getting evicted because they can't pay their rent.
Oh, I wanted to be fishes.
But you must pay their rent. But I can't pay the rent.
So this is the key moment.
This is a city for the right people who can afford it.
This is the city for the right people who can afford it, which is a very, very classist /...
It is.
It's a bad thing to say.
That was actually going to be the original title of the Starship song before they changed it.
What? Hold on.
This is a city for the right people who can afford it.
This is the city for the right people who can afford it. That'd be perfect. So this guy was taking all kinds of grief, reportedly worked at Google, walked away, wouldn't say anything to the cameras.
So when did he say that he worked for Google? Did he?
That's part of the confusion here. Yeah. So the internet jumped all over it. ValleyWag was, of course, the first to just go, this guy's the worst. This is the problem with the world. And the commenters were just ripping him up and down.
Yeah.
Well, then got a little update to the story.
Okay.
And this is why I'm starting to hate the internet so much. It was a hoax. It was all made up. He is a labor organizer. He's on their side. And he did this to create a bunch of kerfuffle.
Stir the pot. So they knew he was going to do this as well.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
And this.
Wow.
So when you read the comments for the first mile of this article, it's all, this is a date which will live in infamy. Be nice, guys. He only lived there for 6 months. Come on, guys. He was really late for his appointment at Supercuts. So it's just this constant. It's alpha geeks like this guy that are causing all the problems. You know, just constant. And then it turns out at the end, after they've all gone ahead and done the full judgment, that he's it was all a hoax anyway, and I don't know how that helps their cause by him doing that. That seems like a really bad idea, especially because he's been in plenty of photos and other marches and other stuff. Like, they know who the guy is. That's how this came so quickly turned around. But everybody passed. It's all this. Here's what I'm getting at. This is not even so much about this one particular case. It's this immediate exposure online creates immediate judgment, immediate, like, oh, this must be the truth. Bam, done, boom, bam, smack. Nobody's doing any investigating anymore. Nobody's calming down and going, we should probably find out who this guy is. We should probably do that before we do this other thing.
Before we all pile on and start.
Yeah, and all our self-justification.
Taking our pound of flesh.
Exactly. Right? It's just, I hate this part of internet culture. I really do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
it is the mob. It's a complete and total mob mentality. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know,
I'd feel like an idiot. Line. If I was one of those people that made one of those comments now, I'd feel like a complete doughhead.
Right, right.
And that guy's no better. He's a bigger jerk now, as far as I'm concerned, because this is fake. So this isn't helping. If your cause is to really make some change, faking stuff doesn't help you. So you're an a-hole. They're an a-hole. Everyone's an a-hole. And then you got mainstream news services that are just ready to scoop this stuff up anyway, and they're getting it off the internet too. I feel like we need to get back to like a Walter Cronkite kind of time, you know, where people are like investigating stuff, and Edward R. Murrow's out there in the streets going, I'm gonna get to the bottom of this.
Right. Who's the gal on 2020 who always did the exposés? Paula
Dean. Very distressing. She had her distressing segment.
I'm gonna go do an investigation on my tater.
It's very distressing.
How's it looking on the street, Paula?
It wasn't Paula Poundstone. It's very distressing.
Two people in the tadpole immediately. Paula Poundstone. Another one, Paula Storm.
Paula Storm, nice.
Brand new. Very distressing.
Very distressing. There's us doing it.
Oh, that's awesome.
I don't know who that is, but I know what you mean.
Or Jane Paul. Oh, was it Jane Pauly? Maybe that's what
might have been.
Jane Pauly Shore.
Might have could have been.
No.
Oh, Paula Dean says no.
Okay, Paula Dean says no. All right, fine. It's Paula Dean. Fine.
I'm sorry we've offended you, Mrs. Dean.
Your butt is going to be mine.
Oh, shit.
But.
All right, fine. I guess
I think like the first part of that is awesome.
Is there anything we can do?
I is what I is.
And that's all what I is.
That's all what I is. All right. There's that. That's the
she
thing
has
that
has successfully slipped under the radar recently,
she
by
has.
The way.
I haven't She's, heard anything about her.
Yeah.
We haven't talked about her here.
I'm a lay low and make love to my tater.
I like plenty of butter in my tater lube or whatever.
Jeez.
That's not good. I've taken it too far. All right. So check this out. Dude, yeah. I don't know why his name's not in here, but a dude develops a gut growth. This is a warning. This is a everybody be careful kind of moment on the show. Yeah. Everyone, we're
so
being
your health alert.
Let's bring this down a few notches and get on a knee and let's listen carefully to this. Guy develops a gut growth after drinking river tainted beer can. You got that? Okay.
Yeah, river tainted beer can.
The girl from Firefly tainted a beer can.
Right. Summer Glau took the first swallow off the beer, handed it to him.
Yep, and that was it.
It was river tam tainted.
That's right. And then Jane yelled, "She's really harshing my calm or something." So here's how it went. Australian fisherman.
River Taint is my poor name.
That's not good.
All right.
According to a report. Oh, sorry. Australian fisherman. What's his power?
I was waiting for this. Catches things like Barramundi, Excelsior.
Wow. That's a hell of a power. Get him on my super team.
Those are delicious, but only in Australia.
That's great. He's age 60. Developed a mysterious condition that has left a large growth on his stomach. This happened in May. According to a report in the Sunshine Coast Daily, he was sipping on a beer from the Brisbane River when he dropped the can in the water. He retrieved it and continued drinking, so water got into the hole is what happened there.
Okay.
Only a few short hours later, he told the paper, he became violently ill. Like that.
Yeah.
A little over a week later, McDonald said he couldn't eat or drink. He was rushed to the hospital when numerous surgeries were performed to eradicate the large mass protruding from his stomach. So
that's not a growth. That's a growth.
That's a growth. Look at it, too. Look at that photo.
Oh, hold on. Is there a photo?
It's going to kill you, man. It's going to kill you.
Why? Why am I clicking this? Oh, it even says in the headline, graphic photo in all caps.
Yeah.
Scrolling down.
Look at this thing.
Oh!
Yeah. Also, also style sense is not like lost on this guy.
No kidding. It's like he's developing a Quado. Is he going to be like on Total Recall, given the...
Listen to me. He's going to start talking.
Oh, I'm sorry, people. Yes, let's give people one a link. I'm sorry.
Okay, here you go. Right, I can give it to you.
Right. I just put one in there.
Okay. We doubled you up. Enjoy.
Double linked you. Double link across
While you're thinking about horrible stomach things, I would like to take your mind off of that and point you to somewhere where you're never going to get that. You're never going to get this giant growth on your gut. And that is by using HelloFresh.com. That's HelloFresh.com.
HelloFresh.
Making cooking fun again.
HelloFresh.
Like, that's fun to say, isn't it?
HelloFresh.
HelloFresh.
Get that healthy meal in 30 minutes or less. They send you all the ingredients. You just pick from one of their great recipes written by their chefs. Chef-created recipes, folks. And no matter where you are, the code works. Morningstream 50. Now, there's some areas that can't get it yet, and you can find it on the site if you're eligible yet.
Yeah, it's not available in my area. I'm really bummed. I was getting ready to sign up. I want some HelloFresh.
I think they're spreading. They're growing, so every minute counts. We'll see, we'll let you guys know when they've gotten to the broader spaces. But if you live in one of their areas, you're lucky because it's awesome. Morningstream 50 for 50% off, folks. Go check it out. That's Morning Fresh. That's HelloFresh.com.
Morning Fresh.
Morning Fresh would have been a fun show name for this show, wouldn't it?
Right. The Morning Fresh.
The Morning Fresh. Oh, that's terrible. Never mind. Don't do it. HelloFresh is a good name, though. HelloFresh.com. Go check it out. You will not be disappointed.
If communists have attempted to inject their propaganda into the motion picture, they have failed miserably.
Hey, check it out. It's Celebrity Poop, and it's brought to you by...
The new Extra Life calendar. Some of Scott's favorite comics each and every month of the year. Hang it on your wall, damn it. Frogpants.com/store for details.
Yeah, they're all picks from just some of my favorites. So like on October, you get like some Halloween-themed stuff, and for December, you get Christmas-themed. And
I have an idea. Just popped into my head.
All right.
Ready?
Yep.
All right. The 2015 Frogpants calendar. So while we're all there at Nerdtacular in July, we have photos done like beefcake, kind of mock beefcake and cheesecake photos with Frog Pants celebrities.
Wow.
You know, like
that's awesome.
Me reclining on a bearskin rug or, you know.
Terpster would be at a classic one. He loves doing that.
Right.
He loves hamming up that business. That would be awesome. Except you'd have to have multiples of us in some of those shots.
Well, yeah, you'd have to have a group. Right, sure.
It's only 12 months in
the
year.
Way more of us than 12. But so you get, you know, you get logical groups like you, Terpster, and Dills for one. Yeah. Or
love that. Yeah. How about, hey, Corinne, if you're listening, and I know you are, but put someone on that, will you? She's in charge now. I'm making her do it.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Smarch. Let's put Smarch on that calendar.
Smarch.
Yep, lousy Smarch weather. So there you have it.
We will be fully clothed, though. Let me just really quickly emphasize.
Yeah, we're not gonna. We know who we are. We're not gonna go that road,
except for Terpster.
Yeah, Terpster. I don't want to see his wiener again, though. I'm still in therapy for that. I don't want to deal with it. NBC says it will put a show on again like they did the other day with that Sound of Music's thing.
Sound of Music, sure.
Do you hear the one famous actress from that show? Not the main lady, but the other lady.
Carrie Underwood?
Yeah, no, from the old one.
From the original.
She just died like the day after.
Oh, really?
I like to think it's because she saw it.
Killed her.
Yeah, she's like, oh, that's it, I'm out. 91 years old, I'm out. The enormous...
Oh my God, Irony Man, you're so damn quick. He's already got a mocked up photo. From the gut growth, the Australian gut growth meme. That's got to be linked in.
Oh my gosh, you didn't have to do much work on it because you already kind of have red face in that shot. That is fantastic. Oh my gosh, dude. That's my favorite thing I've seen him do in a while. Nice work. I'm putting that all over the internet.
I just tweeted it.
That's great. So that Sound of Music thing did 18.6 million viewers, and that's huge. This has top executives at NBC promising to do it again.
Ooh, can I make a suggestion?
Go for it.
Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark, live.
Great.
what could go wrong?
We would love like a snuff film on broadcast television.
You know, I'm actually really excited about that. That's going, so it's finished up on Broadway. They just said, okay, we're done. Yeah, but it's moving to Las Vegas.
What?
Yes.
That seems perfect.
Yes, I cannot wait.
Because there nobody cares if you die.
It's better. What I mean? You sell more tickets.
Right. You get eaten by a tiger. Guess what? Right, you're infamous now.
People may die. It's going to be like Chris Angel will leave with masks.
I love this. I didn't know that. That's great. That's something I would actually watch there. I was in no mood to fly to New York just to see it, but I'd see it there. Let's see. The music is wanting to do more stuff. Obviously not Sound of Music again, but something else. Family-friendly Broadway classics with a lot of familiar songs is kind of what they're thinking.
Mm-hmm. I'm guessing Rent is not going to be not going to make it.
Probably not Rent. Probably not that Trey Parker, Matt Stone thing.
Right.
Probably not. What's another good one that would not ever work there?
Monty Python, Spam-A-Lot.
Yeah, probably not. Don't do Cats. Sadly. Just because I hate him. I hate Cats. I don't want Cats. Because Cats is literally about cats. I don't know if you're familiar with the story of Cats, but you know, you think Cats might be something else, like, oh, it's a artistic something thing. No, it's people in cats. It's cat costumes pretending to be cats. It's really stupid.
Sweeney Todd, yeah, that's another one.
Yeah, Sweeney Todd may not work, but yeah, I mean, I could see him doing like Oklahoma or freaking...
Right, The Music Man or
Avenue Mary Q. Poppins. Yeah, Cleo's right. They will not do Avenue Q.
They will not do Avenue Q.
Not a chance. The Wiz, I'd watch The Wiz.
Hmm.
That'd be all right.
That actually wouldn't be bad at all. Yeah. That could be done, and that would be a fun one because it's, you know, funky... Funky Over the Rainbow.
Yeah. Wicked would be cool. Sure. I'd watch Wicked.
Oh, yeah. Wicked.
It's got that girl from the Pie Show in it. What's her name? Can't think of her name. The blonde. She was on West Wing for a long
time. Kristen Chenoweth.
That's
the
one. That's the one. Yeah. Oh, the gun toting.
She's 73. Did you know that?
Who?
Kristen Chenoweth.
No, she's not.
She just looks amazing, doesn't she? She's
not 73.
She looks absolutely incredible for.
That's awesome. That is not her age.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
They know. You guys, he knows. He knows. She is actually, I can tell you right now.
She's 42 or 43. She's really close to our age.
Right around our age, I believe.
Yeah.
Let's find out. Maybe a little older, actually. Which always makes me happy. Hold on.
45 is what people in the
45, yeah, a little older.
She's lovely, though.
She is. She's one of you can't pin down her age. She's like Kelly Ripa, where there's a, you know, you think... You look at one part of her face, and it's like, okay, I think she's this age. And then you look at her neck or something. Well, maybe she's this age.
Yeah,
you know, she's hard to pin down.
She's from Oklahoma, and she don't like them gays. I don't know if you heard her talk about it, but
really?
Yeah, she's come out. She's had some controversy about her not liking them gays very much.
She's in theater.
I know. That's where all the gays are.
No way.
Yeah, I'm trying to find it. Hold on. There's a bunch of...
That can't even be true. I cannot... I can't believe that.
Here it is. In 2009, Chenoweth wrote a memoir entitled A Little Bit Wicked, Life, Love, and Faith in Stages, describing her life and career, including her adoption, her turn in Wicked, and her time in Hollywood. The book was released April 2000. She has spoken publicly about her religious faith, described herself as a non-judgmental liberal Christian. According to the New York something-something... She supports gay rights. Oh no! You know what it was? I have it backwards.
Was it from that TV show where she played? What was it? GCBs?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I know what it was. I'm sorry. I have it backwards. She says that she
loves the gays.
She loves the gays. She supports their rights. She's a Christian still. Whatever. All that, but she supports their rights. And this really upset the people who would normally want to support her.
Gotcha. Okay.
And she made some comment about how Jerry Falwell and Pat Robertson were scary. And she regretted.
That probably didn't go over very well with the,
with
the Bible Belt.
Cause to promote, she had an album, and to promote that, she made an appearance on the 700 Club to kind of smooth things over. And that upset a bunch of gay people.
Oh, jeez.
Nobody's happy, man. Nobody can be winning.
You can't win.
You like the gays. You don't like the gays.
If you do this, you hate us.
Yeah.
Is what the deal is. Yes.
It's annoying. The whole thing is annoying. Jason Momoa. We just saw him on Film Sack.
Sorry, you got to look at. I know I shouldn't be clicking on links in the tadpole while we're doing the show, but you've got to look at the new Irony Man one.
Oh my lord! My head is wrong. That's awful. I can't live with this. Hold on, this is going on Twitter.
We now have new album art.
This might be the greatest worst thing ever. Paste.
sorry, right. Artie man. I can't do it during the show anymore. All I right. can't look. I can't.
That's pretty awesome. My head is so massive on that guy.
It is, but it's like the lighting, the coloring. Mm-hmm. It is.
I want to put some kind of ointment on you, though.
I know. I look like I itch.
It's just bad. All right. Good times.
Brian the
I don't like how good a job he did on both the Photoshops. Your face and my head. Ugh. All right.
Heck, he's doing the calendar. I think we just take 12 Irony Man images and put them in a calendar and we're done.
Make these all print ready at 9 by 12 and we're good.
Right. 600 DPI.
Yeah. Yes. If you could do that, please, that'd be great. 300, we'd get away with 300. Jason Momoa, star of such hit films as Conan the Barbarian and other
he's
stuff.
He's just such a magnetic.
Mm-hmm.
Performer.
Yes, all those words and more.
Bombastic. He's just over the top.
He what's the point? Oh, he's in this he's being eyed for the Batman Superman movie. Game of Thrones actor Jason Momoa, of course they say that because that was the one thing everyone liked. Right. Is in talks to be a part of Warner Brothers' untitled Superman/Batman movie, a source close to the project tells Variety. The source did not know which character Momoa would be playing in the Zack Snyder-directed tentpole. Is that what we're calling it? But rumors suggest the role is DC Comics supervillain Doomsday.
There you go. That could do. That could work.
He needs to be a one-note, horrible-faced, scrumpy-nosed villain, and that probably works pretty well.
I wonder who's predicting that he's going to play Doomsday, because it's, you know, I mean, that if you have Doomsday in the film, that pretty much sets up a very specific Superman storyline.
Yeah, unless they're going to just completely deviate from it. Who knows? Have them work together. I don't remember Batman being much of a part of that in the comic, was he? That whole run?
No.
I don't think so.
That was very Superman-centric.
Yeah, I don't know about any of this. I did notice we watched the DVD or the Blu-ray, and I've mentioned before that I still have major issues with collateral damage and his apparent obliviousness to it.
Mm-hmm.
But,
Lobo would be a great character.
Yeah,
from
Lobo would be. Lobo would be dead on.
Yeah.
You know what? I may predict Lobo at this point.
Sheriff Lobo.
That's
right
perfect.
There is who's going to play.
But think about it. It's dead perfect. Yes, Drobo, yeah. Jason, and PGH, Drobo. He's going to play Drobo.
Drobo.
I don't know what he'll do, but I like him in kind of roles like this where it's just, you know, he's not going to give me a nuanced performance. I need like a crazy villain.
Right.
And we're watching the DVD again, and I'd heard or seen there was like an Easter egg that during the scene where what's the guy that plays Superman? I forgot his name.
Cavill.
Henry Cavill.
Yeah.
Cavill, I should remember because I'm watching BSG and Cavill's a dick on that show.
Yeah.
He's looking up into the big beam, the terraforming beam.
Mm-hmm.
And he's down in Honduras or wherever it is, where the other end of it's happening across the world from what's this? What's a Metropolis?
Yeah.
And it's pounding the ground doing that. Wah, boom.
Yes.
Wah, boom. Like that. That's my impression.
Very good.
And he's looking up in it and his face is rippling back and he's trying to gather the strength to fly up the butthole of the thing and destroy it.
Yeah.
Kind of Randy Quaid style, you know?
Right. Yes.
And as his face is rippling, they superimpose Christopher Reeve's face on there for a second.
What? Really?
Yeah, this is a real thing. And a confirmed thing. And I know it. And so I stopped it and slowed it way down. And it's totally has that. It's totally what it does.
I'm sure there's an image on the internet.
Yeah.
It looks like there we go. Somebody's already, Irony Man already has it.
Yeah, of course he does. I think
look at that. Yeah.
I think Irony Man might actually be the internet.
Jeez.
Yeah.
I know. It's like, you know, if the internet became self-aware, I could see it calling itself Irony Man.
Yeah.
And being in our tadpole.
He'll be laying in a pool of goo with a bunch of pipe stats to him going, the fourth in the line of women is the ninth time turn off the FTL, freaking man from Nantucket whose wiener was so long, whatever, and then burp, burp, and then he would yell, jump, and we'd all have to go.
31 minutes. Love it.
All right.
Beautifully done.
What else are we doing here? So that's happening. Let's watch and see how that goes. We would like to thank our friends at TweakedAudio.com for sponsoring the show. We love Tweaked Audio. TweakedAudio.com, great place to get your Christmas gift on. Go over there. Get your gift on. And they've got plenty of awesome deals and ideas for you and your family when it comes to earbuds and audio equipment. I can tell you this, lifetime warranty doesn't hurt. And also a good deal, 33% off now. Tweaked Audio. Stream is your checkout code. That's the code. Promo code, they call it. Put that in there. Stream. 33% off your next pair of earbuds at tweakedaudio.com. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Bill Duran will be here. After that, jury duty. And then maybe some more after that. Who knows? But before all that, a song. What do you got?
A song. All right. Well, so here's something I've never done before, and maybe I don't think I've done it before. And before anybody asks me to do it again, I'm probably not going to do it again without good reason. But
okay.
both requests today are coming from the same people.
Oh, weird.
And here's the email, and you'll understand why.
Okay.
Hello, Scotchbrite and Brillo Pad. I've noticed my apartment is getting really, really cluttered, but neither my girlfriend nor myself can find time to clean. We're terrible procrastinators, or we would be excellent procrastinators, I guess. Either way, I promised her if you'll play us a song, we'll take it as a cue to finally get scrubbing.
All right.
If you play my song, I have to clean the bathroom first. If you play hers, she has to clean the kitchen. So he gives me two requests, one from him, one from her. And whichever one we play first, that's the person who has to do clean something. But I figure since we're both doing both on the same day, that means both of them have to clean. Like, he's got to clean the bathroom, she's got to clean the kitchen, because that's the deal.
Right.
It's the same episode.
Sure. I got it.
All right. Mm-hmm. So we're starting things off with his request. It's Marcy Playground covering Two Ton Boa. Now, these guys actually have some history together. Sherry Fraser, who founded the band Two Ton Boa, actually had some involvement with the start of Marcy Playground. And so the two of them have always kind of collaborated and done covers of each other and stuff like that. So
I love Marcy Playground. I know a special spot in my heart for that.
I know you do. And you should really like this. This is from the soundtrack to Cruel Intentions, where you can see Sarah Michelle Gellar kiss Selma Blair.
Yeah, that's right. On the lips.
On the lips.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
That was what that movie was known for a while.
Buffy the Makeout Slayer. Honestly, that's all I knew about that movie before.
Well, that was basically Dangerous Liaisons for kids.
Yeah. Well, yeah, sort of. For teens. For horny teens. Let's make that clear.
Anyway,
yeah.
This is the song Coming Up From Behind by Marcy Playground, originally done by Two Ton Boa, and you can find it on the Cruel Intentions soundtrack.
Sounds good to me. Here it is. We'll be back in a minute. Please stay tuned.
Making eyes at the girls like bullfrogs. start and miss the rolling bullies on the blacktop. Better park as you turn. She's coming up from, coming up from, coming up from behind. Yeah, she's coming up from, coming up from, coming up, coming up from behind. You have her hanging like a sneaker on the live wire tangling. Why your gold line pockets were jangling with the hollow jack part of your wicked game. She caught you sick light. It was creeping in the shadow of your white smile, lurking underneath the cover of your bedroom eyes. Were you greasing up plans for your small fry? You wanna talk it up to you, where you float like a royal balloon. Oh, your ego's folded to the size of the moon. Well, I think you found somebody to cut you down to size.
Said the giant, the butter sauce on my niblet's corn. It used to run like this.
Boy, that runs good!
Not anymore. Now it clings. So folks get butter sauce and crisp niblet's corn on the same fork. Just put the cooking pouch in boiling water and serve up delicious green giant niblet's brand corn in the butter sauce that clings. It won't run.
No wonder it ain't plugged in!
Illegal, immoral, or fattening.
This is the morning stream. It's just what the doctor ordered.
The Zap Brannigan, deh at the
I
end.
I love the smarmy, yes.
Love that. Hello, Leela.
He did a lot of that in, for our film sack, this most recent film sack.
He did. It's like he's in the mood or something.
Yes, exactly.
Something's going on there. I gotta say, that's awesome song, and I'm all into that. I gotta get more of that. I love those guys. I don't know what it is. There's something in there.
Well, it's a cool bluesy, you know.
You know what? I'll tell you what
I
really like.
Social Distortion.
I really like their song. Let's see. The Marcy Playground song. Is it? No, is it?
Sex and Candy?
That's the, well, is it that
that's
album?
It, that's the one everybody knows.
But I'm trying to remember this song. Is it? Is it Wall? A Cloak of Elvenkind, it's called. Total nerdy kind of fantasy song.
Yeah, no kidding.
But it's great. Listen to this thing. Let me skip ahead. It's just really good. And the whole song's about like weird like hobbit crap in your closet. It's hard to explain. I like it a lot.
Sure.
It's a good album. People should get it. Marcy Playground with their album, Marcy Playground, self-titled.
Ask for it by name.
Yeah. Quick moment of news just in. Here's some news just in, everybody. Beep, 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 beep. Oh, wait, we need a thing for it. How about, Wrapped in Plastic?
Wrapped in Plastic.
Okay, that's all I could find at a short notice. But, Justin Bieber called a fan a beached whale at Perth's Hyatt Regency Hotel.
Really?
Listen to him, what a douche he is. There were four young girls in bikinis, Robinette said. One girl who was gorgeous looking with long dark hair would have been maybe a size 14. Justin looked her over and said, "What are you, Hawaiian or something?" She said, "No, I'm not." And then he said, "You look like a beached whale."
God.
The girl said, "Are you serious?" And he said, "You should go on The Biggest Loser." The whole pool deck heard him call this beautiful young girl a beached whale. Everyone heard, and there was a silence. It was almost like his security were used to it. Well, of course they are. He's a douche.
Yeah, exactly.
He's a douche. Another guest says, "I saw Bieber make a gesture with his hands to imitate a large-bellied whale." As he spoke to a long-haired girl, said something about Biggest Loser and was pointing at her. Separate story, so it all corroborates here. I'm looking. They said the girl was okay, but she was also a Bieber fan. She may be okay, but...
was a Bieber
fan. Was it? I hope was. He's a douche.
Yeah.
He's a little douche.
He really is.
Can't stand him. All right. I'm out of that now. Moving on to a much happier topic.
Mm-hmm.
Which is that fitness. Of Bill Duran and fitness. Although you never know with Bill. Maybe he's got something else to say. Maybe he wants
blinded
to...
blinded me with fitness. And I can tell you the current my current treadmill woes.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, but I need 30 seconds to reset the heater. Can you give me a...
Go. You got it. I'm going to find a theme anyway. Let's see. How about this right here? I can't find a good one. How about...
piece of shit!
There we go. It's Bill Duran, everybody. Hi, Bill. Right. How you doing, man?
You know what? I thought I looked really good in my size 14 bikini.
Yeah. I didn't know you had long, flowing black hair, brown hair.
Oh, yeah.
I was unaware. It's fantastic.
Oh, maybe just 10 seconds.
Oh, there you're back. Hi.
Hey, every once in a while, the furnace starts pumping out cold air, and so you've got to just reset it, basically.
There you go. Bill Ibbitt. Ibbitt Bill.
Bill!
Hey. Yeah.
Oh, hi, Bill.
Oh, hi. You know him.
My furnace is right next to where I shoot video, so sometimes I have to turn it off because it's loud.
Yeah.
And then I forgot that I turned it off, and the house turns into an icicle.
Yeah, we're having a similar problem here, and it's so freaking cold. I keep hearing from, look, I know this is, okay, when someone in California goes, I'm freezing, and my heater's not working, and you say, well, what is it right now? 62!
Right.
Now, I realize that they don't want to hear us go, try -5, I'll trade you. But it's hard not to, you know? Mm-hmm. It's hard not to. And then I get the same thing. I can say, brr, it's freezing. It's 9 degrees out today. And then somebody in, like, I don't know, Michigan will say, try -20, a-hole. All right, fine. Turnabout is fair play. Bill, it's good to have you here. How are you? How's it going?
Pretty good. Hey, you guys are talking about the average lifespan in the 1800s.
Yeah.
So something to remember about that is it's an average, and infant mortality was very, very high back then.
Right. So that skewed the numbers, didn't it?
Yeah, and if you made it past infancy, you were likely to make it into the 60s and 70s.
You think we'd be a tougher people if that was worse today? In other words, I feel like there was a toughness to that. And I'm not saying it's good that people died, but if you were of the mindset that you're like, okay, my wife and I are having a baby, and we're excited about it, but we know in the back of our heads that there is a pretty good percentage chance that this isn't going to take, you know, that it's just the way it is. That's the way things are. So your wife's out, you know, picking corn, and all of a sudden, oh, it's time. And then you realize you got twins and they're both breech and everyone dies. Babies die. Moms die. I feel like that's a different, that's a different kind of grieving that we do now versus then. I think then you went, well, them's the breaks. Now get out there and pick more corn. You know what I mean? Do you agree or disagree?
Yeah, it's a totally different time.
Yeah.
Feels like
it.
Yeah. I don't know, the guy with no children.
Yeah. Sure. But that would happen all the time. Like, you'd have a widow with 8 kids and the dad died because a tractor ate him or whatever. And you'd be like, oh, no. But she's like, no, we got this. We got this. Jim Jr. over here is going to be making sure the crops are okay. And we've all got cholera, but we'll make it through, perhaps. Maybe we won't. You know, it's just a tougher breed of people.
I think it's the other way. I think we live so long now because we were so tough then.
You think so? That's one way to put it. I think we've gotten soft. I think things are too easy for us now. So it's just you have very little risk. You don't have the, it's like my sister's always talking about. You're not going to walk outside and a saber-toothed tiger is going to eye you and want to kill you anymore.
Yeah, so I do work in a shop all day, and there is plenty of risk wherever I go.
That's true.
in the form of power tools.
Mm-hmm. Plus, you're alone. See, now think about this. So Bill's down there, and he's making a sheath for a sword or whatever he does.
I did that recently.
Oh, good. All right. So you're making a sheath, and it's a complicated process. There's chemicals involved, and you're walking along doing your thing, and you slip. Your mask flies off. Now you're exposed to toxic fumes. You face plant it into a bucket of horrible goo that's meant never for skin contact.
Resin or something.
Yeah. Your wife's at work. No one can hear you in there. And what? I mean, that could totally happen to you.
It's true. Yeah, my cats would find my body and just
eat you.
Eat it start for eating. The yeah.
They would eat you because our pets don't care about us. I've said this before. I'll
not one bit. No,
they
no.
don't. They think they. We think they do. They've got cute faces. They look up at us. But Daisy would just as soon eat me as lick me.
There's no doubt in my mind. If I died and my body was just sitting here decomposing, the dogs would lay on top of me for quite a while before they started eating me.
Yeah, they probably, but they would eventually. So that's the point. And then maybe you would though. So let's say, okay, scenario. All right, let's play a little game of
imagine.
We're in a world in a future where Brian and I and Bill are on a getaway. We're in a cabin in the woods.
Okay.
And Brian goes and falls over dead. Okay. And while he's laying there dead on the floor, both me and Bill are going, oh, the mourning and the gnashing of teeth, and we're so sad he's gone, and we loved Brian, and you know, we're having a hard time with it. But meanwhile, a storm has covered all exits to the cabin. We can't get out. We can't get in. Nobody can get out. Nobody knows we're there. We were secret about leaving in the first place because we're all into that. We're into some weird goat sacrifice or something. So that's why we're there in the first place. And so Bill and I don't, you know, we're running out of rations. We've eaten through everything. It's a month later. Brian's still decomposing in the middle of the room, but not too bad because it's freezing. So he's kind of kept fresh, you know. At some point, Bill, what do we do? Do we just starve to death ourselves, or do we eat the supple flesh of Brian Ibbett laying on the floor?
Oh, I say we start at the legs. Yeah, okay. I call one drumstick.
Okay, you want one drill? There's enough for both of us.
We talked about this before. I'm a fan of dark meat, so I'm gonna go for a drumstick.
Wow, is that where Brian's dark meat is?
Yeah, and the legs. I would imagine.
I don't. This is really real dark.
I don't know. I don't know if humans have light meat and dark meat. I don't know.
I don't know if they do either. I just remember.
I think. I imagine that the arms and legs. That we use more often would be dark meat.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Sure. That's probably true. What would be our white meat, though?
Breast. Stomach.
I want one of Brian's breasts. but okay. Do you remember that movie? What was that movie where the soccer team crashed into a mountain and they had to eat each
Alive.
Other?
Alive.
Okay.
Yeah.
All they ate were the butts. Do you remember that?
Oh, really?
Yeah, they just kept eating the butts. So the victims would be laying face down in the snow. They'd peel back their pants and they'd take a slab of butt meat. And that's all I ever saw anybody eat in that movie. So I wonder if there's something to that.
I don't know. It wouldn't be my first choice.
No. It's fatty, right?
Well, it's a little too close to the butthole. I
think. Right. But you'll eat a chicken. Okay. Hold on now.
I have never seen a chicken's butthole. They remove the butthole and keep it miles away from the rest of the chicken.
Right. But we could prepare Brian in a similar way. We can get him. We can eliminate the butthole. Who wants to do that job? We have to draw straws, or how's that going to work?
I don't know, but someone's job out there is chicken butthole remover.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, there's a guy who works for Archer Farms or for
I'm the Archer Purdue. Vice President of Butthole Removal. Yeah. All right. Sorry. Hey, fitness, man.
Yeah.
Fitness.
Please, let's get to fitness.
Yeah, let's get to fitness. Some way so that Brian will not be the first to go in our cabin scenario. What do you think? What do you got? What do you have?
I was going to talk about high impact versus low impact exercises.
Yay!
Yeah.
That's exciting.
So why this is a concern, high impact exercises generally mean you have more of a pounding force on your joints.
Mm.
And if you are already overweight or kind of a beginner, or if you have chronic injuries, or if you are an older individual, you need to worry about that sort of thing, especially if your joints are wearing out. Or like me, I have my right knee is chronically stupid. So I have to worry about that because I can hurt my knee.
Mm. You say stupid, what, like ACL stuff or what?
I don't know. I've never had it diagnosed, but when I go out running for more than a mile or two, my right knee erupts in pain. Mm. Just real bad. So these types of exercises are things like running, where your feet are hitting the ground really hard, or jumping exercises, or things like parkour, which, by the way, I watched a fail video compilation of parkour videos, and I quit about 30 seconds in because it was just people hurting
themselves. Oh, it's so hard. Those are hard to watch, man. I love a good fail video, but the parkour ones are They're hardcore. Yes. Hardcore parkour.
It's like landing on concrete on their jump stuff. Yeah.
A dude like just flips out doing some stupid jump over a guardrail, clips his legs, hits the ground so hard. There's that brief moment where everyone's like,
yeah.
And then he rolls over and like this animal sound comes out of his face.
He's just going,
oh, God. I was like, I'm like holding back vomit.
You know who it is. You know who it is.
I stopped watching Tosh.0.
Brian, you know what that's like? It's like the guy in Stripes. Remember that when he falls out of the.
Oh, yeah.
And he makes that sound.
Guard tower or something.
Yeah. like that.
That would be considered high impact.
Yeah.
Let's just say your feet are slamming against the ground. Anytime your head is hitting the pavement, that's pretty high impact.
Yeah.
Or things like gymnastics where you're jumping around, throwing your body around and using basically when your body weight is causing that kind of impact, you can hurt yourself. And unless you do it right, you can, you know, permanently injure yourself, especially the repetitive stuff.
Right.
Excuse me.
It's all right.
Low impact stuff.
Yeah.
Less of a pounding force on your joints. And generally it's considered anything where at one point both your feet are on the ground, right?
Yeah.
So walking or hiking or an elliptical, which was when I had access to elliptical, that was my choice thing to use because there's no impact. Your feet aren't coming off the ground at all. You're just moving in a circular motion.
Huh.
Yeah. Right. You could also do things like inline skating.
I got a question about inline skating, though. If you got bad ankles, isn't that supposed to be kind of murder on your ankles?
Maybe. I do know that, like, I used to do that a lot, and the skates I had went, like, halfway up my shin, and they tighten really, really hard.
Mm.
So if you wear them properly, you should be okay. But you always see, like, a little kid out there with the skates that are like his older brother's, so they're a little big, and their ankles are like tilted out at a 90-degree angle, like they're totally just destroying their ankles.
When was it? So, when was it become not cool to call those rollerblades anymore? How can we call them inline skating?
No kidding. That's a brand name.
Oh yeah. I didn't know that.
And also, when I was in college, that was an aggressive inline skate.
I prefer the inline because I think the rollerblade sounded too like 80s, you know, rollerball kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. The first pair of rollerblades I got were black and purple. Mm. They had like lightning stripes on the side of them.
Yeah.
A little too early 90s.
I felt like I got a lot of good workouts when I was doing those. Back in the day, I feel like I would look like a goober if I did them now. Like, I would just look real stupid real quick.
Maybe. I saw a guy, I used to see him all the time when I was biking on a trail near my old place. He had, like, ski poles and, like, these longer-looking, almost like cross-country skiing, right?
Yeah.
And he was flying! And he was also naked from the waist up and just totally jacked. This guy was using his arms with the ski poles and just... skipping on down the path.
That's cool. We have people here in the summer who do the whole ski, you know, the fake, you know, the grass skis and go shirtless and just go flying down the ski areas where there's no snow.
Wow.
Doing that same thing. And they're always buff. Always big buff dudes. Yeah. I feel like I feel like skiing and snowboarding and stuff doesn't get the credit it deserves for the kind of, you know, the kind of stuff it does to your body, the kind of sculpting it can
definitely.
Do. Yeah.
So another thing you can do, and I do this for my costumes, is you can go get those shoe sole inserts.
Yeah.
You just go buy them and come in a little pouch. You cut them so they fit in your shoe. And it adds an extra layer of padding to the shoes you already use. And even if you have a brand new pair of shoes, you can chuck them in there and it will give you more cushioning. I do it, like I said, for my costume shoes because... often I'll get an old pair of shoes where there's nothing left on the bottom. I'll put that extra thing in there. I glue crap to it because it's for a costume. And I'm walking in it like 10 hours, 15 hours a day. It's super helpful. And I imagine it would be the same if I were running.
Mm. Yeah, you'd think so, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about people who do what are they called? The marathons that aren't, they're like 100K or something. What are those called? There's a name for it.
Insanity.
Insane.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I don't know any of those people with good knees. Do you? Everybody, I can't imagine, yeah. Everyone I've talked to who doesn't, I have a few friends who do. I got a friend who, friend who's got the stinkiest dreadlocks you've ever been near. But really? He's super into running, and he does those 100K crazy marathon things. And he's always complaining about his knees. He's always wearing some sort of brace, and then he's always going out and doing it again. I feel like those people have a problem. Just saying.
I don't know. There's a special kind of dedication to long distance runners that I have never understood.
Yeah. And then go forever. I mean, they're in the middle of, you know, they'll start in like San Diego and they're in the middle of the desert. And before you know it, they're in like New Hampshire. It's like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
Kind of life do you live where you can run that long and survive
now,
that long?
Something I would be really jazzed about is the ultra long distance bicycling. It's frequently people will bike from like Seattle to Portland, and it's 150 miles, I think, maybe. I don't know. But yeah, that sounds fun to me. But I would like bring a tent. Stop halfway, go get food. It'd be kind of fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But not running, no.
No.
God, no.
No, no, no. Not my kind of road trip. All right, real no, quick, I want to see if I can find that sound effect I was talking about. So give me some.
Okay. Yeah, that's not while you're, that's, while you're, oh, I guess you'll be playing. Yeah.
Let's see. No. Nope.
Go, damn you.
It's in
life
here.
Life goes on.
Okay. Give me, give me double. All right, I couldn't find it. Damn it. That's all the things I have that would have been it. I know it's in here, but.
Oh, that's anyway. The worst, though. That wounded animal sound a person makes when they hit the ground real hard.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Like that? Oh, dude, scary. All right, sorry, Brian, what were you going to say?
Oh, I was just going to give you a quick update on the treadmill because
last week,
I burnt it out.
Yeah.
Burnt out the motor, filled the basement with smoke. So my new one arrived yesterday, the new motor.
Yeah.
$250. So now I'm into this thing for since I bought it in 2004, I'm into it now for $300 plus, $150, $450, $700.
Okay.
Ooh. So not too bad. Put the new motor in, hook everything up, make sure that the cables all match the previous one, get everything lined up, get the belt nice and tight. Doesn't run.
Oh.
The motor is not moving. The console is saying, you know, 1 mile an hour. Nope, zero. Like it drops. Like it, you set it for a mile an hour and immediately slows down. So it knows that the belt isn't going. So I've got to call into them that at some point this morning I'm going to get some tech support. Hopefully it's just a wire that's in the wrong place or something.
It totally could be.
Needs more lube.
More lube, Brian.
More lube.
You can never go wrong with more lube.
No.
This has been Treadmill Watch 2013. Tune in next week.
Let's hope it's fixed before 2014. I'm hoping.
Yeah. Well, Bill, it's always a pleasure to hang out and talk. You got always something going on in Bill's world at punishprops.com and on Twitter and other stuff. Anything in particular you'd like to give a shout out today?
Why, yes. I did some work for the crazy goofballs over at Film Riot. They do a weekly video podcast, not podcast, show sort of thing. I don't know. Anyway, youtube.com/filmriot. They made a short film called Proximity. Mm. And it's about 10 minutes long. It's a little violent, a little bit violent. But I recommend you go watch it because the main prop in that film is an ankle shackle, like futuristic looking thing. And I built them.
No way, dude. Guys. I've been hearing all about this Proximity thing. I had no idea you were involved.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's great.
So I did that, and also if you go to my YouTube channel at youtube.com/punishprops, I put up a video about how I made that ankle shackle. So go see both of those things.
That's great. Go see the shackle. Go see the movie.
Yeah, that's right.
Bill's got his stink all over it, man. So Bill Duran, everybody, Chinbeard on Twitter. Follow him. Give him love. And Bill, take it easy, man. We'll see you next time.
See you guys.
Bye now.
See ya.
Bye now. All right. Jury duty?
Jury duty.
Hey, he's green. That must mean he's there.
Jury duty.
He's never green. Even when he gets on, he's never green.
Mm.
So that's a good sign, everybody. Settling down for
these
the holidays.
These are their
stories. Oh, I'm terrible with names.
It's Justin Robert Young, everyone.
Yay. Hi.
What's going on, man?
Oh, you want to know what? I drove all the way up to Petaluma because I got to do tech news today, and I needed, the goal was, I just needed to be stopped in a car by the time that I had to do the morning stream.
Oh,
because oh, so you're in the car on your way up.
No, I got all the way here.
Oh, like, there.
I was expecting to, like, you know, I was going to, like, wait to the middle of Bill Duran talking about, you know, doing handstands or something. And then I was going to pull, like, off to the next exit. But I made it all the way here.
So are I'm you very excited. Where are you physically right now, then?
I'm in the Petaluma parking garage across the street from the Petaluma Market, keeping it real local.
Fantastic. That's great.
Sonoma County, what's up?
Yeah, those guys are, there's probably a parade happening right now like they do constantly in that town. That's great.
They just roll eggs down the street and laugh about it.
That's what Petaluma does.
That's what you're about if you're living that Petaluma life.
Still a strange little community there. So, well, that's great. TNT, always the better, I believe, when Jerry's on. That's great.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. I hope so.
You know, we're all very sad to be losing Tom as a TNT
a human.
Anchor.
We'll miss him.
Yeah, we're going to miss him. But big things are afoot for him. Is he in studio with you today, or I guess he'll be remote as well?
No, he's in the City of Angels, Los Angeles, as he usually is. This will be the first time I'm on, obviously, since the news broke that Tom is dying.
Yeah. that he's slowly wasting away from a disease called...
Yeah, we all have our ribbons out, you know.
Right, what is the color ribbon for Tom?
A respectable brown. It's a respectable brown.
Yes, a sensible brown.
Yeah, you might call it walnut, kind of chestnut walnut kind of brown.
Yeah. Tom's beard brown.
Classy.
Yeah, not
almost
too...
Almost like a mahogany.
Not too overbearing. It's not the kind of thing you want to call attention to itself, but people who know, they know.
But sturdy. Yeah. In fact, it is, it's actual mahogany. It's a ribbon of wood.
I love that. Made by some woodworker. And
exactly, by a woodsman.
Yeah, so it smells just faintly of cedar and smoke.
Exactly.
I like sandalwood. It's brilliant.
Kind of the kind of you know, like a very expensive humidor.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Exactly that. Yeah. We have the make of the man. So what's going on, man? What's going on in Justin's world? What do you want to talk about? What are you thinking?
Yeah, I had a moment where I almost called into the show. Listening to
it. Good. I like when you get all riled up about stuff.
I do. I get a little riled up sometimes. Right. I want to talk about this Yahoo what impersonated a Google employee.
Yeah, could we do that? Because I was incensed yesterday. I was so irritated, and it started to remind me of all the other kind of punkings that the internet does that turn into real news and then turn out to be fake. I hate it. I hate it. I freaking hate it.
Let's understand something. That if it's too good to be true, it probably is.
Yeah.
That for as many dog, you know, man bites dog stories that are kind of the makeup of the internet, you know, a lot of times this stuff isn't real. Now, hold on. Before we get into that, like, keep that in your mind, and let's go back to this Google guy.
Okay.
So you made the point that, you know, problem with the internet is, you know, we go and everybody freaks out, and then all of a sudden... 3 hours later, we realize this guy is a labor organizer and is not exactly the picture-perfect example of the narrative for which has been set out that, you know, gentrification has run amok in San Francisco.
Yes.
Now, where is this worse? In the Valleywag world, where somebody goes and does this, and you know, we report it, and then 3 hours later, we know this guy is a goober.
Yeah.
Or is it better in the world where of television news back in the mid '90s, you guys were talking about like 2020, when part of this is reporter bias, and the fact that like, and I don't mean necessarily reporter bias in a political sense, but reporter bias in you tend to find the narrative that is already there.
Yeah.
So the New York Times wrote about this, you know, wealth divide in San Francisco and kind of, you know, all the nouveau riche engineering class for all the hot tech companies are pushing out, you know, poor people. And so that's the set narrative. If 2020 came in and did a report on that, and included that guy as part of it because they wanted to send somebody to a big thing. He's a labor organizer. He would probably be, he knew enough to have a camera there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know? So 2020 wouldn't even have to have a camera there. They could just get that video from that guy. And then that went out. And then there was like the only other place that people who watched that report would be able to see that that was fake was 2020. And then it was on the onus of 2020 to say, well, we made a mistake, which is rarer happening than if somebody else were to report it.
Yeah.
I think we're way better off the way it is now. That like everybody makes the judgment. And then everybody corrects it. Because what we're looking at here is not bad reporting versus good reporting, you know, which is, I think, the problem when we look at nostalgia.
Yeah.
You know, we just think that, well, no, those guys would have gotten it right.
Mm.
And I think it's a dangerous idea.
I completely agree with that. Here's the problem, though. When 2020 does it, let's say in the 90s, they screw up. Corrections happen all the time. Let's say somebody messes up and they mess up big. Let's say it's on the scale of whatever the equivalent of this would have been then. And the problem was, the good thing about them doing what they did then was that the stakes were a little bit higher in the sense that you had to do your homework, your investigative reporting, your background checking, your stuff. You had to do your work because you really did just get the one shot on a Saturday night to show your thing, and if you were wrong, there were bigger stakes because it was a big goof. Here's the problem, though. If you came back 2 weeks later and apologized, that sucked because that's as quick as you'd find out there was any change. And so I agree on that level, but I feel like they had to do more work. Now you don't have to do anything. You take things at surface value and you just go with it. I don't know how that's better.
They did not. I mean, again, we are assuming that there was a level of standard that I don't believe the evidence states there was.
Mm.
There was no watchdog. I mean, the watchdog nature of news through the 90s, pre-internet, is laughable. Mm. It did not exist. I mean, like, look back at, like, Dan Rather. Dan Rather had to fall for an email chain hoax. You know, like something really, really stupid.
Yeah.
And like on that level, in the middle of a presidential election, for him to get called out on it.
Yeah.
How much other stuff got through that we never know.
Yeah.
Now let's go back to all those weird news stories, right? So we know that. All right. So, you know, idiot who, you know, was yelling at a woman on the plane with pictures, you know, was a hoax, right?
What? That was a hoax?
Yeah.
Oh. I was following that Twitter thing with
Diane eats my dingle. Like, yeah.
I'm done. I'm hanging up now.
Yeah. So that's a hoax. Like, how many other stories that are reported, like, it's like, you know, you guys do it every day on this show.
Yeah.
Like, from Russia, the man who, you know, has a magnet in his finger and has magnet finger disease.
You know, I hope tainted river belly growth is not a hoax.
Yeah, I hope that guy's real. I want him.
Well,
to be
I mean,
real.
Listen, some might not, right? But like the point is that they went to a reporter at a likely a small paper in a foreign country where then you have the translation problem, and we've seen stuff where it's like, English news gets translated somewhere overseas, and it's like, whoa, that's nothing like we actually know it to be.
Right.
You know, that's completely taken out of context. And then reported as fact. Like, because, right, the places where that stuff can be called out, we're already four levels beyond that. And nobody has any interest in going back and checking that work in newspapers, right? On television. This is already happening and people don't care. Now, what my point is that what we are seeing now is not the atrophying of an old muscle.
Yeah.
But rather, the feeling that you're feeling is the reaction to a new muscle being grown.
Mm.
Because I think the system is better than the old system just because there's more revisions. And now we can see that story be corrected in the same page that it was reported.
Mm.
Now you can see that full story on one page, as opposed to on 2020, that guy being on there And then you had to watch 2020 live 3 weeks later. And then maybe at the end, Hugh Downs, you know, has big fat lips go like, well, by the way, that guy was fake.
Yeah.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone. Right. Okay.
30 on a Friday night.
I agree. That's that part. That end of it does suck. And perhaps I'm being naive, but I just feel like it's too easy to screw with the system now. That guy, like supposedly that guy that was tweeting from an airplane about the horrible behavior of the lady, which turned out to be completely fake. We talked about it before. It's that stuff, that kind of thing is happening more and more often, and it gives everyone else other ideas. So, Justin, you're a guy who likes to not punk things, but you like to see how malleable a situation can be online. And you'll sculpt things to work out for whatever reason. You know, like, well, let's try a little experiment. What if everyone unfollow? Like, I remember when Brian had everyone unfollow him and then refollow him, and it was a test to see who was actually following him.
It was
or whatever.
A test to actually increase his Twitter followers.
Right. like he's always up to doing that. You've got similar stuff
gaming
going on.
The Amazon, right? All that stuff.
We play with things occasionally like that, and it's just too tempting to then take all that to the next level and say. Yeah, like the fake death of Paul Walker on the Saturday before his actual death is one of the most unfortunately timed things ever, but it all came down to the same kind of problem. Anybody can fake anything, and for a little while, we all buy it. So at some point, it's so much noise, you don't know when you're being told anything. Like, is it true? Yeah. Is it not true? Was I just blissfully ignorant before with the age of 2020? All right, fine.
No, the question the point is not that it's easy to fake things. The point is that people have been faking things forever and now we know about it. And now we can have a more accurate idea of people who are trying to manipulate the media.
Okay. I can see that point.
People have been trying to manipulate the media since as long as there has been media. And I mean media as in the first time that some caveman realized that this other caveman talked more, he was trying to influence that caveman. Like, that is a constant. It has always been a constant. It will always be a constant. The fact that we know these things, and really what it should make you think is not, oh, man, it sucks that this guy did this thing. How many other times has that happened?
Yeah.
How many other times has there been a narrative written and somebody fed it exactly what it wanted?
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you this, journalists, just like any other people, they can be lazy. And there can be days where they don't really want to do their job. And if there is exactly the story they want in front of them, they will take it. And if somebody's trying to manipulate them, then that's the way they do it.
Okay. Then okay, fine. I'm going to agree with you. You've actually convinced me.
But your feeling is not like you should not leave this conversation saying, "Well, then I feel great about it," right? Because you obviously feel uneasy.
Yeah.
Like, and my only point is that this is the queasy new feeling of a new sensation and understanding that the old situation was broken.
It's like growing a vestigial tail and not being able to surgically have it removed. That's what it's like. It's like, where'd this tail come from?
Yeah. Except I don't think it's a vestigial tail. Maybe it's like, we are, it's an awesome tale that we are going to use for awesome benefits. Like, maybe we're better people for having tails. And initially we're like, what? I'm not Nightcrawler. Yeah. Why do I have a tail? Yeah. And then you realize, wait a minute, Nightcrawler was awesome. And he could speak German.
And he could band fall over the place.
All right, fair enough. But here, so I guess I'm going to self-diagnose what really bothers me at the core of this. It isn't that the system's broken. It isn't that it's wild anarchy online. It isn't those things. It's that it is a more exposed and transparent view of bad human behavior. And that, I think, is where I'm struggling. Because I don't know, maybe it's the way my mom and dad raised me, or maybe it's something else, but maybe it's my parent, maybe it's because I'm a dad and I worry about these things for my kids. But I just wish we weren't such dicks all the time.
Are we talking on the journalist side or on the guy yelling side?
On the guy yelling side and a little bit on the journalist side. And not always. I mean, there are plenty of really good, great, honest, straight up bloggers and writers and people who are just trying to do good work, and they may make mistakes. I'm not, those kinds of things aren't what I'm getting at. But primarily this dude who's taking a very real issue in San Francisco by all reports, people I talk to and, you know, people on the ground seem to corroborate that there's a problem in San Francisco and there's a classist sort of breakdown and, you know, this stuff is an issue. So this guy who's clearly should be on the side of helping that issue be honestly presented for what it is doing this backdoor thing to just ruin it. And I guess in the end, I just want to blame everybody in the room, but really I'm most upset about his behavior. You know, I want to blame the bloggers for blowing it out of proportion or not blowing it into enough proportion, or the commenters for being just latch on, you know, buttholes that they always are, or somebody. But in the end, I really, it's this guy, because this is just straight up, I mean, let's just boil it down to what it is. It's horribly dishonest. And I hate
it
that.
It is. And it's trying to reduce a very complex issue into a very simple issue. And it's trying to, again, exploit a narrative. Yeah. Narrative has already been set up.
Right.
That, like, hey, you know, there is, and also a lot of it is kind of at its root, this sort of self-loathing issue where it's like, hey, we love the internet, but the internet has a price. And that price is people who work as janitors in San Francisco. Like, you know, who will think of them?
Right.
But us, the New York Times.
Right.
So, I mean, I think it's, I think it is a complex issue. The changing, evolving nature of a city is always very complex. I think it is more complex than just rich people move in, poor people leave.
Yeah.
Like, there is a lot of elements, you know, of that. But, like, in general, I don't know. I think part of this is also, like, and this is something that might get a little political, but I'll try to dance around it in as broad a generalization as possible. You know, there's a lot, people always talk a lot about wealth disparity. And I've always thought that that was just a very odd metric. You know, like I would rather, I think a better idea of things is not necessarily wealth disparity, but rather like wealth prosperity on the lowest levels. You know, are people who are the poorest doing better or worse?
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Like, the fact that they're like mega insanely rich people, like, I don't know if I care about the fact that that exists as long as the poor are getting richer and not poorer.
Yeah.
And like, so there are problems with that. You know, I mean, like, there are problems where you look at, like, okay, well, where is the average median income? Where's the where's like the median income of what would be considered poor, you know, or you know, before? Is it getting better or worse, like in San Francisco right now? But I think that's a very complex issue, and it can't be boiled down to let's throw eggs at Google employees because, you know, Google is a very successful company. I think there's a lot of reasons to think that Google's weird.
Mm-hmm.
You know, chief among them, the fact that, you know, they are basically just selling our personal information.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that's the reason why the company kind of exists or thrives and, you know, does very, very well is because they want to keep us in their ecosystem so they can sell information about us to literally anybody who wants to pay 50 cents for a click-through impression.
Right.
But I mean, that's, I don't know, I guess there's a lot of vectors to it.
Yeah,
and
it's never as simple as anyone ever says anything is.
What this dude is saying is like, oh, like he's creating a you know, he's feeding a narrative that says Google employees are bad for making money and for getting apartments, you know, and then it feeds into a stereotype of, you know, it's funny because the stereotype of the blowhard Red Bull chugging broheme VC guy or entrepreneur guy is now kind of trickling down to like the engineer, you know, like the alpha geek, like what you were saying,
yeah,
in the comments before,
yeah.
So I don't know. That's weird. I guess my biggest thought with that Google guy is like, you know, the like you don't really want to like come out and be like, oh, f the IRS, because all of a sudden like the IRS can like really dig up in your stuff.
Yeah.
Like, right. I'll tell you what, man. I wonder if that dude has a Gmail account. you know, or a Google Calendar.
Yeah, sure.
Because it'd be really crazy if all of a sudden he's got like a text message that was like, oh, sorry, man, server outage. Turns out all your messages are gone forever.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Sorry. It's the way things go. It's a free service. What are you going to do? You get what you pay for. Yeah.
You want to know what? Yeah, we'll be glad to refund your money. Yeah. Oh, wait. And then it's just Sergey Brin giving a middle finger.
I mean, it's like
that he
this.
Took with his Google Glass and he's looking at his webbed feet shoes.
Yeah, it's funny because I think I am, as this conversation has gone along, I think I'm coming to terms with what my real problem is. My real problem is just human beings kind of blow sometimes. And the internet has an ability to sort of blow that up. And, yeah, you know, I see things like I follow a Twitter account called Historical Pics. At historical pics. And it's like cool historical photos from stuff. One of the most recent one, which was posted literally 6 minutes ago, is a photo of Martin Luther King Jr. flipping the middle finger. And so there it is. He's throwing the bird. And
I think that was Photoshop.
And that's my point. I don't know. I used to kind of look at these guys and go, oh, yeah, this is pretty accurate business that they're throwing out here. And they're putting up photos of real things. And I've seen some of these in Time Magazine when I was a kid. And so I have some... you know, authority there, but you just realize in the end of the day, it could be anything like that fake Twitter account that was going around or the account that's like deleted celebrity tweets. And it had after Mandela died, it was what's her
Paris
name?
Hilton.
Paris Hilton said, you'll be missed. I loved your this is a dream or I have a dream speech or whatever. Yeah. And it was fake. She didn't say it. And I don't like Paris Hilton any more than the next guy, but.
But it feeds the narrative that Paris Hilton is an idiot and is probably a racist.
Yeah. Right.
You know?
Right.
Like, or, you know, at least racially oblivious. We feed that narrative because that is what that's what we kind of agree about it. Now, let's go big picture. How many of these people that we know, especially in history, when there were fewer media outlets. And again, this is not the difference between people who did it right versus people who did it wrong.
Yeah.
This is the difference between an oligarchy and a situation where anybody can chime in and have their voice heard.
Yeah.
So if you only had to please a couple people or make friends with a couple people, then how many people that are historical figures do we know a certain way because the people around them wanted to help them maintain their narrative because the reason for them being around was more important than whether or not it was exactly what the truth is.
That's a good point. Because, because back then it was like, we think Martin Luther King also had a bunch of mistresses. We can't prove it, but that's the word going around. Today that would be like, oh, photo of Martin Luther King Jr. in a, you know, a jacuzzi
walking out of a Brazilian whorehouse with a blanket over his head.
Right. Oh, man. Please don't take any of this out of context, anyone listening at home. Like, don't just tune in now because there's context to that.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, go back, but please. Like,
I guess, but like, does that make Martin? I guess here's where I want to get. I want to get to the point where we can understand that Martin Luther King might have cheated on his wife and still understand him for the important figure that he is. And that we don't need to be spoon-fed the fact that he's Superman and the Tooth Fairy, right? There can be complex human figures who create real change for the better. We don't need to forget the fact that Nelson Mandela engaged in terrorist, what we would understand as terrorist activities, to understand that he is also an incredibly inspiring, important person that, you know, focused on race relations and really made worldwide our lives better and the world better,
sure.
Culture better.
Sure.
We don't need to forget the bad. And that's what I'm saying with like the internet stuff is like, let's understand that, media gets manipulated. People lie. There's like negative stuff that happens. Let's not forget about it. And let's not yell that like, oh my God, I can't believe this is here. Let's say it's here and we just have to deal with it and understand it.
Yeah.
And I think we'll be better off for it.
Yeah. I think you're right. I don't know. The whole thing just rubs me right in about five ways and wrong about 100 ways. And it's just an issue of me coming to grips with what the reality of it is and not.
It's just a new world. It is a new world.
Yeah.
And we just need to understand, you know, that it is. And that's the other problem.
Well,
is
it's
that,
new world, but same issues. Like, Before I had my eye done, I couldn't see how nasty that hairy mole was on my neck. But now that my eye's done, I can really see it. It's like that. It's like the internet is a new eye. That's all.
It is. It is. And by the way, it's not helped by the fact that old media hates the internet, and because we are in the parlance of Blazing Saddles taking their phony baloney jobs.
Right.
And they feed the narrative that the internet's a reckless danger and that, you know, like, oh, well, it used to be great when all we had to hear was the truth from Hugh Downs's puffy face. I'm Hugh Downs. I used to love 2020.
I did too. I thought it was great.
Yeah.
I even remember when it felt like Geraldo Rivera was a legit reporter because he used to work on there. That was his first gig or one of his first gigs. And I remember,
was it Rivera or was it Stossel?
There was two of them. They were both there. At one point.
We're talking about mustachioed newsmen.
Yeah, no. If you look up Geraldo, I can't find his freaking name. There it is. Geraldo Rivera. It's spelled with a G, Scott. It's not with an H.
Geraldo Rico.
His first job was not first job. He did probably local, you know, some local hoo ha, but I know he was on 2020. Hold on. It's going to bug me now until I know. Yeah, 2020. Began to appear on ABC national programs such as 2020 and Nightline. So I don't know if he was like a dude for hire.
He was a regular. Yeah,
but I remember him doing a lot of spots on there. And it was usually like kind of what he's known for now, which is, you know, busting into something and freaking everybody out. And at the time that felt like, oh yeah, guerrilla journalism. Look at him getting to the raw business here. And then he went and did his little Al Capone's vault bull crap.
Right,
and it's all been downhill from that. But I was into it back in the day when I was a kid.
But that's the thing, is like, let's understand for Geraldo for what he was. Like, and we can say good, bad, you know, win, lose, or draw on that. Yeah. Like, you know, is it good that he went out and did those things? Yeah, you know, like, probably those were good. Are these things kind of cheesy? Yeah. But are these things as bad as we think? I don't know. Probably not. Were those things as good as we remember? I don't know. Probably not. And that's awesome. Like, it's better that we have a better understanding about it instead of just saying like, oh, Geraldo was great until he did this thing that I don't like, and now everything he does is without value.
That's a good point. I just put in the chat room a very old photo of a suave and debonair looking Geraldo Rivera in
look at that
early 30s. Yeah, look at that.
Oh dude, listen, that guy crushing it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, there's a time and a place where I'm sure Geraldo Rivera was catting around town.
Yeah. He is. He looks like Carlos Santana or somebody like that. But he's basically he's 70 now. He's not basically 70. He's literally 70. Yeah, yeah, kind of a John Holmes. Yeah, like 70s porn looking dude.
Totally.
He's 70 now, and he's probably doing one armed push-ups as we talk.
Probably right. With his mustache for balance. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Justin, always fun, always good, always insightful. You'll be on TNT today, so people should watch for that.
TNT at 10 a.m. Pacific time,
yeah.
1 p.m. Eastern. Of course, NSFW tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern time.
Oh, wait, didn't you get my mass text? Aren't I in your contacts? Because she's on there
I'll
again,
tell you
right?
what. I'm going to, yeah, she's gonna illustrate how or how not she has cleaned her room or cleaned my room,
sweet,
which is the new
brush,
Tay Allen.
Sweet brush.
You know what's funny about that is that, like, and I don't know how much we'll be able to talk about it, but like that and like the Rebecca Black came out with like Saturday single. Is that like, I don't know what it says that like these songs come out and people are kind of disappointed that they're not as bad as the previous ones.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
You get punished for competence.
Yep. That's bad.
Yeah, you know, people want it to be, you know, they want it to be the same laughable thing that it was. Right, exactly.
And it's actually kind of okay. Like it,
you are a hapless
and it won't
patsy.
Do nearly as well.
Yeah.
Yes. Like, and that's the thing. It's like now it's like, oh, well, these are both fairly competent pop songs.
Well, except for this one right here. Whoops, this one.
I can clean my room if I try. Sweep, sweep, brush, sweep, sweep, brush. I don't think so.
That one makes me want to kill myself.
Well, that's the one. That's Tay Allen. That's the one you're going to be talking about.
I'll tell you what, though. I don't know how up you are on modern pop songs. Like, that would not sound out of place on the radio.
No kidding. Jeez. I guess you're right. I know.
The new Kadalar Haas song is, right.
Yeah. Kadalar Haas is great, though, because she's such a train wreck. I feel like that's part of the kick is if you're going to be successful in top 40 pop today, you've got to be kind of busted in some way.
Mm-hmm.
And,
sure.
And these two girls aren't all that busted, like Tay Allen and
not yet. We're working on them.
Yeah, we're working on them. Yeah, we'll get there.
Yeah. Trying to break them mentally, yeah. Scott, right. So they can withering vulnerable husks yeah. that drift in the wind while we right. yell at them for
sued.
Yeah.
For their mediocrity and their competency. Yeah.
All right, here's the biggest thing that I need to tell everybody about, which is that Brian Ibbett's mother's favorite new book is Go Home, Santa, You're Drunk. I got an email from your mom.
Did you really?
What?
Oh, no.
That's awesome, dude.
Talking about how much she was a free. She won a copy during the cover-thon.
Yes.
And she was very much enjoying it. And she wanted to pass along that she was enjoying the book.
This is complete and total news to me. I love it.
That's awesome. I downloaded the thing, bought it and downloaded it. And my daughter just yesterday said, the one who drew the cover, says, Dad,
yes.
She goes, Dad, can I get that on my iPad? And I said, sure. And she goes,
some of it.
And she hears my tone and she goes, no, I know I probably don't want to read it. I probably know it's probably going to be like offensive maybe to me or something, but I just want to see how a book looks with my cover on it. So she's
awesome.
So excited. Yeah, just to see how that looks on page one, man, on her iPad. Just boom, there it is, yeah. The EPUB version of it. So a letter from your mom, that sentiment from my daughter.
And by the way, get this. I got a couple friends of mine that work at an awesome web design company called Upstatement in Boston. They've redesigned the NPR site. They've redesigned the Boston Globe site. Like, they do, like, top-end web work. And my buddy Tito, who runs that company, was extraordinary. He said he loved the art.
Oh, wow. Cover. That's great.
So, like big professionals in graphic design were very impressed by Carter's
She
artwork,
has a crazy natural thing. It's kind of infuriating. It takes the rest of us so long to get to where she's at 16, and she's nailing it. I have no idea where she goes from here, but I'm so freaking stoked about it. I mean, on the one hand, you're like, oh, if I could have done that at 16... What was wrong with me? I was stick figures then. It was terrible. I thought I was good, but I wasn't good.
Well, I mean, I'll tell you what. I think, I don't know. I mean, and I would leave it to other people who have who've read it. But, like, there are some things that are a little bit more ribald than others. But there's nothing, like, extraordinary. There's a few F-bombs that get dropped.
Yeah,
I've read it. It's pretty minor. So
yeah,
she's read worse in her fantasy books. She's reading the, what do you call it, books? The, oh, crap. The Patrick Rothfuss stuff.
50 Shades of Grey.
No, the Rothfuss books. I can't think what they're called.
Name of the Wind.
Name of the Wind and that. The King's Killer series or whatever it is. She loves those. And they have moments in there, too. So it's not one of those deals. She's just like, she's just in sunshine over the fact that there's like a you know, her picture on the thing. And I showed her on Amazon how far up the chart it was getting, and she just couldn't believe it. So that kind of stuff. It's just exciting. Like, if I was 16 and my artwork's on stuff like that, I'd have been flipping out.
Over the moon, yeah.
Ah, it's just insane. So, anyway.
By the way, Jerry.
I'm 30, and I'm very excited by the success of the book.
By the way, Jerry, so yesterday I got two packages in the mail. One was a broken treadmill motor. Well, maybe broken treadmill motor. The other works much better. It is a couple bottles of Ruinum.
Whoa.
Yes.
Oh, your poor liver and stomach. And
I cannot wait to consume these. The only other time I've had it is that suite at Dragon Con.
That's great.
Exactly. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm very curious to see what you think. And I was thinking about doing, now that the book, I mean, well, the book drive continues through Christmas, at which point no one will want a Santa book ever.
next year, big reprint. Next year, you watch.
Mm-hmm. Next year, I don't know. Yeah, next year maybe we'll focus on, if I can just focus on kind of marketing it and printing it, then, like, you know, maybe that'll be the idea, and we'll do, like, an expanded edition. I read, actually, on the Jury podcast, I read a story that didn't make it, which is about Disney buying the Santa franchise in the way that did Marvel and Star Wars.
That's a great idea.
And so it's all about those final negotiations on what Disney and Santa have to give up to make the deal happen.
That's an awesome idea. I love that.
But yeah, so I want to do like YouTube videos on like ruin 'em cocktails you can make. I feel like I haven't paid enough attention to ruin 'em, because like the more I think about it, it's like it's just really rad that it exists and I really like it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean it's almost like it doesn't even need to be good. It's awesome that it's a thing.
But that's the thing. It's like I think it's good enough. It's been around enough that like nobody that I know that would tell me the truth has been like, no, but seriously, you sold garbage to your fans and you should feel ashamed.
Well, maybe this is a good time to announce this, but I can tell people while it's not completed and we haven't figured it all out yet, we are on the hunt for the Morning Stream branded morning coffee. So unlike Ruin 'em as a
right.
beverage for
Ruin 'em will put you to bed.
Yeah, we'll wake you up with TMS coffee.
Yeah, there you go. The official, yes, that'll be it. It'll be the official hangover cure for Ruin 'em nights.
Yes,
will be Morning Stream coffee in the morning.
Yeah, we're excited about that. We're still trying to just track down who to do it with.
Wow.
And how.
As, I love it.
Yeah, it'll be awesome. So watch
There's
for that.
There's a lot of those companies though, right? That just like you know.
They're the like right combination of beans.
Yeah, we would be able to kind of customize our brew or whatever, but you know, now it's just an issue of who and
a little bit of a drop of our blood.
Yeah, each
in the coffee just
yeah,
like
a kiss in
the Kiss comic book.
The
yeah.
Kiss comic, right?
Yeah,
a little bit of blood in there. You know, that thing's worth a lot of money. That's the only comic these days that doesn't seem to lose any value. It seems like
really,
yeah, oh. yeah, because no, it's really? Got their, because it got their blood in it. It's in the ink. Like, how do you beat that? How do you beat DNA from Gene Simmons in your comic book? You can't.
I think as soon as one of them dies, it becomes a bit more valuable.
Yeah,
right?
You think so?
Oh, that's right. Now you can get DNA from all four of them. Just be the right place at the right time, wearing the right outfit at the right reunion concert.
It's not a problem. Skid Row in L.A. will get you some nice Ace Frehley DNA at some point.
Aside from the fact that considering his legendary promiscuity, I don't know if Gene Simmons' DNA is necessarily hard to come
by. Or ever going to disappear. Yeah, it'll always be here.
That's right.
Always be right next to you and you won't know it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So, here, real quick about Go Home, Sandy, You're Drunk. The big thing is, if you have bought it, thank you so much for doing it. If it's available on Amazon, if you bought it on Amazon or you bought it on my site, if you want to leave a review, that really, really, really helps in terms of placement and everything on the store. And it already has like, you know, more reviews than I think average books. But if you dug it, you know, go ahead and read it. If you didn't dig it, then stop. Don't write a review. Like, don't do it. And that's it.
All right.
So Go Home, Santa, You're Drunk. And then, gohomesanta.com, ebook and audiobook, of course.
Yeah, go get it. It's good. That's good stuff. Justin, have a fun time in Petaluma. May the next parade be about, I don't know.
grab me a Drobo while you're there, would you?
Drobo!
Just slip a Drobo under your...
You just assume Drobos are everywhere in Petaluma?
I imagine it's like they've got Drobos holding up any chairs that are have a wobbly leg. There's, you know...
That sounds about right to me.
Stacks of Drobos under people's monitors.
The rise of the Drobo.
Yeah, rise of the Drobo, everybody.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to actually do the show without, you know, just yelling dead merit walking whenever...
I actually am very curious about today's episode. I'm going to be tuning in for this. So
no, it's fun. It's gonna be very, very fun. I'm looking forward to whatever the untitled Johnson Merritt project.
Yeah, count on being a guest on there frequently, and it's going to be a very frog panty sort of event-ish sort of show that'll happen weekly. We're real excited about it. All sorts of stuff happening behind the scenes. So, yeah.
Although I will say, I think you guys announced it a little too early.
You think so? You think we pooped that out too quick?
No, I think it's just because it was like, hey, Tom and Scott are working together on a podcast, and it's like, you mean like Autopilot? No, not like Autopilot. Like another one.
No,
what's it about? We don't know.
Hey, you can blame Tom for that. He was he's been hot to trot, man. Ready to roll. Let's go, he says.
He is ready. He's all riled up like a bull.
He's got some energy all wound up in him. So good luck to you today, and may we do this next Tuesday without any incident.
Love you guys.
Bye now.
See you, Jerry.
Bye now. All right.
Bye now.
Bye now. Okay, should we do... Should we do? What's that remind me of? Oh,
call now.
I never did find the the file of that guy breathing bad. Yeah, I don't know what my deal is. Stripes. Maybe that's my problems. I don't have the no. I don't know where it is.
See, you, I don't know why you don't keep a page for each soundboard for each movie and soundboard.
I should do that, but
there, you can have unlimited pages, right?
Well, I don't use. See, what I do is I only use to keep things from going too crazy. I don't use soundboard for most of the sound files. Most of them I pull out of iTunes, and I usually have them like keyworded. Yeah. So if you said we don't want any more fish, because I have so many thousands of files. Then I immediately can get...
We asked for more fish, and they refused to give us any more fish.
Right? So, if you said, hey, what's that one with Todd and a piece of what?
Piece of shit!
Like, I can just play that.
I love it when you squeeze me.
Things like that.
Do you have the one from... what the hell is that movie? The Room? Oh, hi! What was the name?
From The Room?
Oh. From The Room.
Oh, what was the what was the thing?
Can't remember the name. What the heck was the name? Oh, hi, Mark!
Oh,
you had that one on there for a while.
Maybe.
We'll do a search for Mark.
Piece of shit!
No, that's not it.
Oh, shit!
That's not it.
Oh, shit!
Don't forget to say hi to Johnson for me when you see him.
Weird Chinese!
No, I don't seem to have it. Now, here's the other thing. Sometimes when they're just, like, when they're non-short files, like they're actually longer than usual or whatever, I'll actually chuck those because I don't think they're very, like, you know... I don't know. They're not good for like quick drops and zingers and stuff. But I'll keep like all the shorty stuff, like screams and yells and fart noises and things like that.
You know, you do it well, so I can't tell you how to do it better. I think you do a great job with all those things and balancing them and knowing when to pull them in and plop them on and stuff like that.
Well, the more I do it,
the more I do it.
All right.
I was waiting.
It took me a second to find that one. Yeah. So what I meant to say is the more I do it,
the more I learn.
All right. Very good. So that's it. Let's get out of here. We've had a long show. We're well over the 10 o'clock hour. Thank you everybody for being here. It's great to be home. I guess we're 5 minutes over. It's not well over.
Oh,
but it has been fun and I've enjoyed myself immensely. We are now going to transition to ending the show and I'll do it by saying this. Thank you everybody for being here. Thank you alphageekradio.com for our shoutcast stream today. If you want some of the cool stuff that's on the store right now, lots of Christmas deals and awesome things, calendars, mugs, the new TMS mug, all that kind of stuff. Up at frogpants.com/store. You know, a slash store would be a lot of big, tall hats and hair that's in your face, wouldn't it be? If you had a slash store.
Oh, right. Yes.
Get it? Slash.
Yes, I get it. Yeah. Yes.
Take me down to the Paradise City. That slash.
Yeah, I get it.
Let's see what else. frogpants.com/TMS is the website. You know it. You love it. Facebook.com/TheMorningStream. Email us your emails. No time for them today, but we'll have time tomorrow. TheMorningStream@gmail.com. And on Twitter, you can find us at MorningStream, Scott Johnson and Coverville. All right. You got a song for us or something?
I do. We're closing out basically with another request from that same couple, Rob. And he doesn't say what his girlfriend's name is. He does say, Shovel the Love Boat, Rob.
Oh, that's a great one.
Forgot to include that. So this is another request. This is the one that's going to make her have to clean the kitchen. And let's get to it here as I pull it up. This one actually was recorded several years ago for one of the Radio 1 Live Lounge performances. So they get in at BBC Radio 1, they get artists in there to record songs live in studio. Sometimes they're covers, sometimes they're not, but when they're covers, I get them. And this one is from Live Lounge 3, which came out in 2008. It's a cover of Arctic Monkeys' Fluorescent Adolescent, and it's performed by Kate Nash, and I love her voice on this one.
Very nice. Fluorescent Adolescent.
Fluorescent Adolescent.
Yeah, take that kid in just to get checked out because that's a little weird if they look like that. all right. Well, I think that's it then. As Justin always says,
nailed it.
Pretty good show today. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it. And we'll get a chance to do it again tomorrow. I'll be here for Tom Merritt, Nicole Spag, and more for our typical Wednesday. We'll also have the Geek Food Ladies here. And, of course, on Thursday, the triumphant return of Wendy.
Yay!
Talk about something to deal with things. All right?
All the things.
Sounds good. I like it.
I like it.
All right, let's get out of here. Fluorescent Adolescent, Kate Nash. See you tomorrow.
You used to put it in the fish mask.
twice. Now you only get it in your nightdress. Discarded all the naughty nights for niceness. Landed in a very common crisis. Everything's in order in a black hole. Nothing seems as pretty as the past though. Bloody Mary's acting as a Tabasco. Remember when he used to be a rascal? All the boys are slain. The best you ever had, the best you ever had is just the memory and those dreams. Flicking through a little book of sex tips. Remember when the boys were all electric? What you tell, she's gonna get it. I'm guessing that she'd rather just forget it. Clinging to not getting sentimental. Said she wasn't gonna, but she went still. Likes a gentleman, so not be gentle. Is it a make a double or a betting pencil? Oh, the boys are sad. The best you ever had, the best you ever had was just a memory and those dreams. Not asked after they sing, not asked after they sing, my love. You dream them all.
Sorceress, you boob!
You boob!
You boob!
Yeah.
Listen,